Over the past few years, to the traditional sounds of an English summer, the drone of lawnmowers, the smack of leather on willow, has been added a new noise.
What were the skies like when you were young?
They went on forever. We lived in Arizona, and the skies always had little fluffy clouds in them, and they were long and clear. There were lots of stars at night. And when it would rain, it would all turn. They were beautiful, the most beautiful skies, as a matter of fact. The sunsets were purple and red and yellow and on fire, and the clouds would catch the colors everywhere. That's neat, because I used to look at them all the time when I was little. You don't see that.
To the Insomnia Stream. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. This is the Insomnia Stream Galactic Geriatric. That's a tongue twister. I can't even say it. Edition. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Geriatric. Geriatric, why? Why geriatric? Why galactic, for that matter? Hope you guys all had a good Christmas. Mine was aight. I guess that's the best you can really ask for these days, right? As long as it's aight. it's you're doing okay, I suppose, right? We got New Year's Eve coming up here, I guess, on Tuesday. So I'm probably going to be doing a stream. I didn't do one on Christmas. I couldn't squeeze it in there. It is what it is. So, but I am going to try to do either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Probably New Year's Eve. We'll see what happens. But I'll definitely do one. And then after next week, I think we're going to be going back to having the Wednesdays. So it'll be Saturday and Wednesday. Back to the normal schedule. It was kind of nice having a little bit of the breathing room that I've had, but we'll get back to normal. Anyway, speaking of getting back to normal, it seems to be politics as usual, right? See, speaking of Christmas and getting Christmas presents. All of a sudden, I guess we're gonna see. Look, I'm gonna be nice here. We're gonna see. We're gonna be able to put to the test this theory that I heard from so many people when I explained to them why I wasn't going to vote for Trump. And in fact, I'm going to read a little bit of that from my telegram here, just to remind people, because I know a lot of people seem to have a really short memory. They seem to have a really short memory. And a lot of people already are saying things like, well, we knew this was going to happen. It's like, really? Because you were telling me it wasn't. You were telling me that it wasn't going to happen, and that I was an asshole for implying that, well, this was going to happen. Let's see here. I'm having to scroll up. Scroll up quite a bit here, because it was quite a while ago when I said it. Yeah, this was October 16th. October 16th. And I said it, obviously many times in different ways before this, but this was my official statement, I guess, on the election. And I said, a profound crisis may be the only catalyst strong enough to push whites toward a radical change. History shows that moments of deep turmoil and suffering often spark revolution and national revival. Now, of course, all I meant by that is that things usually have to get really bad, especially for a decadent society, to wake the fuck up and do something about the problem. Because they're all comfortable. They're just comfortable enough to just keep on letting it happen to them. Just as long as I'm still getting my calories, my dopamine, then I'm good. I'm good. You can, you can just keep poking me with the stick. There's enough scar tissue there to where I don't really feel it that much. Trump, though painted as the lesser of two evils, is likely to perpetrate the same existential threats to whites, but in a more subtle and insidious manner. His approach is not to halt our decline, but to manage it carefully, allowing cultural destruction and demographic replacement to continue, all while disguising it under the banner of welcoming new and improved immigrants. These upgraded immigrants, in addition to being just as foreign and genetically distant as the current crop, present an even greater threat to our survival than the lower quality variety. The latter, disastrous as they are for our society, lack the capacity to accumulate wealth and power that Trump's preferred immigrants will soon amass, positioning themselves more effectively for their unspoken purpose, white replacement. Of course, talking about how Pablo hanging out in front of Home Depot, believe it or not, is not as dangerous and not as much of a threat to white people. I mean, in the micro, he might drive drunk and run into a minivan full of, with a family and whatever, right? But on the macro scale, Pablo does not pose the same kind of threat that Habib does. He just doesn't, because he's making nothing. He's living in some house with a bunch of other Pablos who are making nothing. And, you know, obviously it's not good, right? That's also bad. But they're not competing for white jobs. They're not getting elected. Well, there's a very small percentage of them are getting elected into any kinds of consequential positions. They're certainly not taking over tech companies, and they're certainly not taking over the Republican Party. Whereas these new improved immigrants, that's exactly what they have been doing and what they will continue to be doing, especially if we increase their numbers. Back to the statement here. This rebranded replacement process is even more dangerous than the naked aggression of open borders, as it lulls white Americans into acceptance and complacency. Not only does it fail to address the issue of white replacement, it accelerates it. Leaders who offer partial solutions to a problem often have no intention of solving the problem, only delaying action long enough to ensure that a genuine solution is never implemented. They would prefer us to passively accept a slow, calculated erasure of our power, identity, and eventually our very existence. And that's just the truth. If they wanted to stop white replacement, they could do it. They could do it. They could have done it every administration going back to Reagan. They could do it, and they don't. And they keep not doing it. And we went over this in previous streams where every president since Reagan has had some kind of big plan to end illegal immigration, and somehow magically, and not by incompetence, every time it's backfired. Every time it doesn't work, and every time illegal immigrants just keep going up and up and up. And every time, somehow, the white share of the population goes down and down and down. And at first, it was like, oh, we really got to stop this. In fact, in 1965, right, they promised, well, we're going to change the immigration laws to stop favoring immigrants from Europe and start allowing all these third world country immigrants, including Indians. We promise it won't change the racial makeup of the country. What I mean by when you don't actually ever do a real solution, when you do a half measure, that you're not actually trying to solve the problem, you're trying to delay the problem long enough to where people can't do anything about it, just listen to the way they talk about it. In 1965, they were promising white people they weren't going to replace them. Now they're saying, yeah, but it's cool. They're not even making the promise. They're telling you that if you want that, you're evil. Because they were able to delay the problem for so long and pump the white people that are remaining with so much propaganda in the meantime that there's virtually zero pushback now. Back to the statement. To compromise in the face of an existential threat is to accept defeat. Incremental changes, especially as our numbers dwindle, will never reverse the damage caused by decades of mass immigration and a century of Jewish influence. As uncomfortable as it may seem, there are times when the foundations upon which everything familiar stands must be reconsidered, and history suggests that these kinds of changes, a shift from appeasement to defiance, only occur when people feel the full weight of tyranny. And that is true. When there's decadence in a comfortable society, people who, again, there's a reason why Pablo would rather hang out in front of Home Depot all day than live in El Salvador. Okay? Because as shitty as America, as low as the bar has gone in America, it's still above a lot of the shit places that these people are coming from. You know, including India, by the way. And so people are kind of just like, it's not bad yet. It's not bad yet. I don't feel the boot on my fucking throat yet, so it's fine. And people will tolerate a lot. People will tolerate a lot before they freak the fuck out. Back to the statement, if we were ever to survive, whites must be willing to endure immediate hardship for the sake of long-term survival. Our short-term comfort is far less important than securing a future for our children. Regrettably, Many are quick to criticize the failures of past generations while simultaneously indulging that same unwillingness to face harsh realities or delay gratification for their posterity. Meaning, they would rather pretend that they won, they owned the libs, than accept a minor short-term defeat that wasn't going to end in Armageddon. 4 years of Kamala wasn't going to end with Kamala death squads, tranny death squads going door to door, marching conservatives onto fucking buses and driving them into a volcano. That was never going to fucking happen. Nothing like that was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen because we already had 4 years of Biden. It was going to be more of the same. And I've outlined again and again and again and again how essentially virtually nothing has changed aside from some economic realities. And again, nothing they can't print more money to fix for 4 years. And in that time, you would have Kamala, who would be an Indian woman, who would be the target of everyone's angst. Everyone would be mad. Anything they did with immigration that would fall short of completely stopping it, which they wouldn't do, would be seen as not enough, and they would blame her, and the mandate wouldn't be for this bullshit, limp-wristed fag stuff Trump's about to implement, but it would be for a total shutdown of immigration. But anyway, voting for Trump rewards deception. And it does. Trump's a liar. He's lied often. Failure. Again, we had 4 years of Trump. He failed on pretty much everything. And fraternization with the enemies. There we go again. He's all about Israel. Never even says white people. The strong support he's received from Jewish power, combined with his past disingenuous rhetoric and abysmal record, whether out of malice or incompetence, suggests that even if Trump does some good in the short term, he will in the end strengthen the very system that undermines our survival, all while providing the illusion required to keep it running. And exactly that has already happened. Prior to the election, there were the numbers of people who actually believed in the system, it was down to like 20%. And the system as in the electoral process and everything else. The last poll that was released that I saw from a couple weeks ago, all these people that thought the 2020 election was stolen, 90% of them now believe that the system works great now because Trump won. Exactly what I said would happen. However, this all seems somewhat academic. Trump appears to have already been chosen to guide us into decline, and many seem perfectly content to follow him there. And that is how I ended it. And of course, a month later, Trump obviously was elected. And he hasn't even been sworn in. He hasn't even been sworn in. And already we are beginning to see exactly the type of white replacement that we were warned of. And I wasn't the only one ringing this fucking bell by any means. In fact, Trump was saying this. We'll play a clip that I've played often tonight. So people acting surprised that all of a sudden, what do you mean? Why are we going to get these Indians, these H-1B-1 visas? I thought we hated those. Well, that's not what Trump said prior to the election. So what, were you just not paying attention? So what we're going to see, the great gamble that so many people eventually, after admitting that they were maybe a little high on the MAGA supply, eventually they were whittled down to just saying, well, what we need is Trump to get in there, and then we'll pressure him to do the right thing. Once he's already in there, and we're not, you know, multi-million-dollar donors, and we already voted, he's not running again, so he doesn't have to worry about re-election. He's already in there for 4 years, no matter what. You supporting him really doesn't make any difference at all. He doesn't owe you anything, you know, certainly not in the same way he would owe people that would give him millions of dollars. So it's kind of, you know, what's the motivation? How exactly are you pressuring him? By saying things, expressing your displeasure on Twitter? Which again, I don't think that's going to be allowed to even necessarily happen the way that a lot of people were thinking, as we've seen in recent days. So right around Christmas time, We suddenly had a bunch of tech bros, the kinds of tech bros that magically embraced MAGA. And when I pointed this out, people, what would they say? We've won. We won the argument. Finally, woke is dead. Finally, all these people that were never Trumpers forever and always talked about people like you and me as if we were these unhinged, low IQ, anti-Semitic racists that we should be dismissed out of hand as trolls, that our opinion doesn't even really matter. Well, now all of a sudden, they're on our side. They've been convinced. Our superior rhetoric, our superior arguments, all of our charts and infographics, they finally, you know, Elon Musk became a fan of the Insomnia Stream. And he's like, oh, now I get it. Oh, I get it. It totally makes sense now. Before, for generations, I was a rootless cosmopolitan. I literally come from a long line of people who have never fought and died in any kind of war to protect a homeland, and we've kind of just been rootless cosmopolitans for generations. And yet, I now feel connected to the land and the people of America in the same way that the founding stock Americans do, and I finally get it. After all, as many people would point out, I'm from South Africa, a place that was overrun with Africans. And now, clearly, you can look at my past, and I can see the parallels between what happened in South Africa and what's maybe going to happen in America. And now I can't say it, right? That's always the special mind fuck of the average person that wants to believe. That wants to believe in fairies, that wants to clap so Tinkerbell doesn't die. Clap, you want to make sure you clap so that she doesn't die. They always say, though they have to say that. That thing that they're saying that they're going to do that's totally counter to what we want to have happen, they're just lying. You see, when they say things that I don't like, they're lying. And when they say things that I like, then they're totally based and on our side. And that is, unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people think. They think like the person who has a girlfriend that cheats on them, and all their friends know it, but they're just so deluded. They think that's the best they'll ever be able to do. So they cling on to this horrific bitch who is like, oh yeah, why didn't you call last night? Or, My friend said he saw you at this cocktail bar with some dude. Oh, that wasn't me. That was my twin sister I've never told you about. Oh, okay, that makes sense. And that's these people. They're literally cucks. They're literally cucks. They're just in denial about it. And so it should come as no surprise that, again, this is not a change in rhetoric. People are acting as if this is like, oh, what? All of a sudden, they've changed their tunes. You know, this is not what I voted for. It's exactly what you voted for. They were saying this before the election. You were just so full of this delusion, this need to win, this need to own the libs, this need to relive the glory days of the meme war of 2016. You're like Uncle fucking Rico fantasizing about throwing a football over a fucking mountain. Well, reality sucks, doesn't it? Reality is a hell of a thing, and it's setting in for a lot of people, especially as they are becoming maybe a little more explicit. Again, not changing their tune, just maybe playing the tune a little louder. So just a couple of days ago, as many people have heard, Vivek, and this is a perfect example of, again, I've said this time and time again, every time people get excited about a non-white that's somehow going to lead the whites, you can't do that. It's never going to work. You cannot have wanting to include non-white people to help you in your battle against diversity. You're basically admitting diversity is our strength. Do you understand, like, the retarded illogical mind mess that is to say that in order to defeat diversity, we need diversity? That the big problem here is white replacement and diversity. Therefore, let's get all this diversity to help us to replace people who might otherwise have been leaders who would have been white because they're more competent. I mean, you're basically saying what they're saying. You're saying it's a meritocracy. Well, sure, Vivek's an Indian, but I'm not going to hold that against him. He's a good speaker. Let's have him speak for white people. Well, then what's the problem with having his cousin work at a tech job? You know? You're making the same argument. And sure, it's okay if people like that want to speak in favor of some of the things that we want, but to ever support them as a leader or even as a peer is a huge mistake, because you can't use diversity to fight diversity for the same reason that you're trying to fight diversity. They have different motives. They have different objectives. Sometimes those objectives might align. And in those moments, sure, they might be helpful. But the moment those objectives don't align, they're not going to be on your side. Why would they be? Any more than you would be. It's like when some people were trying to make alliances with Muslim groups that were against Israel over the October 7th stuff, right? And it's like, okay, that's good if they're going to amplify some of our messages about the infiltration of the Israelis into the United States government. But if you start to treat these people like they're your colleagues or your peers, it's going to blow up in your fucking face. And it did. Because at the end of the day, they hate white people just as much as Jews. In fact, they think Jews are white people. So, there's that. And they're looking at you as a useful idiot for them. They're looking at you as the stupid white guy that's going to amplify their message. So it just never works. It never works. And Vivek Ramaswamy is the same way. It's like when Ann Coulter got all that shit for saying, you know, I like the cut of your jib. I like what you were saying in the primary. But I would never vote for you because you're an Indian. And she said it as plainly as that. And people got mad. Oh, that's so terrible. No, that's exactly right. You should never, never want to be led by a non-white to help you in your battle against non-whites. Doesn't make any fucking sense. And Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, just the name alone should be like a big red flag, right? Made this really clear. He tweeted out on the 26th, I believe, is that it was either Christmas, late Christmas, or the day after Christmas. The reason top tech companies often hire foreign-born and first-generation engineers over Native Americans. I notice he doesn't, even by putting the scare quotes around Native Americans, it's not because he's trying to differentiate you from Indians, like as in the feather Indians. This is going to get confusing. But because he's making the argument subtly that, hey, white boy, you're an immigrant too. You're an immigrant too, white boy. Is it because of an innate American IQ deficit? That's a lazy and wrong explanation. A key part of it comes down to the C word, culture. See, he's trying to make the argument already. There is no differences between races. Even when he's going to talk shit about your race, which he's about to do, it's not because you're innately bad, because he needs to take that tool away from you. He needs to take that off the table. That cannot be a topic of discussion in this conversation he wants to have, that there are any kind of innate differences between races. So already, boom, that's gone. We can't talk about that. It's the C word. It's culture. And didn't you know that? All this time, it's kind of funny. All this time, the white boomers were saying that the problem with the immigrants coming across to America is they weren't assimilating to our culture. I thought the culture of America was the good part, right? Especially if it's not the genetics, right? If it wasn't the genetics, if hey, white boy, you're an immigrant too, then what was the engine driving our ingenuity in this country? Well, obviously, it was the American culture. It was the American dream that anyone can adapt to and adopt. But apparently, that's actually the issue, because he can't tell you that it's white people. Tough questions demand tough answers. And if we're really serious about fixing the problem, we have to confront the truth. Our isn't that rich? Our American culture. Really, Vivek Ramaswamy? Our American culture? Our? See, again, he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. He's a part of this culture. You know, he's one of the good ones. He's one of the ones that did adopt and adapt to our culture. He's one of the ones that assimilated. Our American culture. He has just as much ownership of the American culture as anyone. He just does. Because he now lives in America. And that's all it takes. Our American culture has venerated mediocrity. Really? More so than, say, Indian culture? Over excellence. For way too long, at least since the 90s, and likely longer. That doesn't start in college, it starts young. A culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champ, or the jock over the valedictorian, will not produce the best engineers. Well, you know what, asshole? Your bitterness is starting to shine. We're starting to see that Vivek was not one of the cool kids in high school. And what did I say, and I've said many times in streams? For a lot of people, especially those in politics, high school never ends. High school never ends. It's the case for a lot of people, even if you just think about a lot of times music stops for people and after high school. You know, they stop listening to new music, they stop paying attention to celebrities. They stop being up on the new cool fads or whatever. Fashion often stops. Like, my dad dressed like it was like 1978. Like, well, it still kind of does. You know? that's the way that it is. And here we're getting a little window into Vivek's past. A little bitterness about the prom queen. And, you know, the Stacys and Chads of the world. And we're not producing the best engineers. Well, I would say to you, first of all, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. There is a lack of focus on academic achievement in America. But to say that is somehow the same as wanting to have athletics, wanting to have the Chads and Stacys of the world exist, is. It sounds like the fantasies of someone who is really into the movie Revenge of the Nerds. A culture that venerates Corey from Boy Meets World. Now, I'll have to admit, I never watched this show, so I don't know what the fuck he's even talking about. Or Zack and Slater over Screech. Okay, really? Screech? In Saved by the Bell, we've done streams on Saved by the Bell. Screech, by the way, was the annoying Jew in Saved by the Bell. Versus Zack and Slater were like the jocks, who were not exactly academically retarded, at least in the show, right? Or Stefan over Steve Urkel in Family Matters. I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about there. I don't know who the fuck Stefan is. Will not produce the best engineers. Someone watched entirely too much TV, because I watched a lot, and I don't even know what the hell he's talking about there. Fact, I know multiple sets of immigrant parents in the 90s who actively limited how much their kids could watch those TV shows precisely because they promoted mediocrity, and their kids went on to become wildly successful STEM graduates. Well, that's an entirely different topic. Yeah, I think TV rots your brain, and you shouldn't let your kids watch TV, but not because it promotes mediocrity, because it promotes degeneracy. And let's not discuss who was making all this. Let's leave that out of the equation, shall we, Vivek? Should we not mention the fact that all of these intellectual properties were owned and operated by Jews who were exactly trying to psyop Americans into being subservient and feel guilty about their race? Something that you probably never picked up on, because it never had that message for you, Vivek. It never had that message for you. Because as much as you want to say our culture, you're not white. And if you really were part of our culture, and you really did have the hindsight that we have. You'd be able to look back at these very television programs that you're talking about that we've extensively dissected on this stream. And you would know it's not mediocrity that they're promoting. It's anti-white hatred. It's the immigrants like you, Vivek, are the awesome kids that deserve the job over the white man, because you should feel guilty forever over everything that you could even tangentially tie to your ancestors as a white person, and that all of your success has been born on the backs of people like Vivek Ramaswamy. So if anyone's been indoctrinated by this filth coming out of Hollywood, it sounds like it's you. If anyone has embraced the messages that were in these TV shows, Vivek, it sounds like it was you. Because you're echoing the sentiments exactly. You're saying that white people are a bunch of shallow, privileged faggots. And that the immigrant parents raising the super smart kids are the ones that deserve to be in positions of power. I don't see any difference between what you're saying here and what the average Hollywood television show or movie would have said in the 90s that you're talking about. More movies like Whiplash, fewer reruns of Friends, more math tutoring, fewer sleepovers, more weekend science competitions, fewer Saturday morning cartoons, more books, less TV, more spelling bees. It just sounds like to me, Vivek had lived in one of these households with these militant Indian parents and making him go and compete in all the spelling bees and be a good little insect person. And he's baffled. He's baffled and probably very frustrated that some of these Chads and Stacys that went to the sleepovers and didn't go to the science, the weren't mathletes, wound up actually succeeding in life all the same. Must have been that white privilege. Most normal American parents look skeptically at those kinds of parents. More normal American kids view those kinds of kids with scorn. If you grow up aspiring to normalcy, normalcy is what you will achieve. See, again, he's bitter about the way he was raised. He's angry that he was raised to be a little spelling bee Pajit. Now close your eyes and visualize which families you knew in the 90s or even now who raised their kids according to one model versus the other. Be brutally honest. Normalcy doesn't cut into hyper-competitive global market for technical talent. And if we pretend like it does, we'll have our asses handed to us by the Chinese, the Chi-Coms. Oh, the Chi-Coms. This can be our Sputnik moment. What he's talking about is in the space race, the Americans were afraid of losing to the Russians because they put the first satellite into orbit, Sputnik. And ham radio operators were able to tune in and listen to it as it flew over the United States, and it spooked a bunch of people. And that's what kicked us into gear to get the space program going. We've awakened from, by the way, this was all happening with no Indians around. Let's just be clear about that. The Sputnik moment that he's talking about, zero Indians at all. And in fact, to the extent that there were foreign workers, they were Nazis. Okay? They were Operation Paperclip Nazis. They were Germans. Okay? So no Indians to be seen. No Indians in sight. We've awakened from the slumber before and can do it again. Again, he's trying to adopt and appropriate your past. Because why not? He lives in America now. Trump's election hopefully marks the beginning of a new golden era in America, but only if our culture fully wakes up. Our culture. That once again prioritizes achievement over normalcy, excellence over mediocrity, nerdiness over conformity, hard work over laziness. That's the work we have cut out for us, rather than wallowing in victimhood and just wishing or legislating alternative hiring practices into existence. I'm confident we can do it. Well, that's funny because that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to legislate new hiring practices into existence. And let's talk about the hardworking Vivek. Because, right, he's got a lot of money, right? Right? He's very successful. It must have been because of that upbringing. Right? That must be why he's like this this guy you've heard of. You know, this self-made man. He was hardworking. He didn't watch Friends. I mean, only girls watch Friends, dude. Like, Friends, really? Saved by the Bell, only chicks watch that too. Like, I like how a lot of the shows he's listing, it's like it was chick shows. It's like, was that what you were watching when your mom wasn't watching? Well, you know, keeping an eye on you. Anyway, let's take a look here. This is a tweet from Dr. Ben Braddock. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy in 2015 scamming the public on his Alzheimer's drug that had already failed drug trials 4 times before he bought it for pennies. He rebranded it and took the company public in an IPO. Then his family dumped $2 billion of stock before it failed again. Oh, how Indian of you. A scam, you say? So let me give you a little background on this. Just so you know that, like, the galaxy brain Vivek, who never watched Friends and was never invited to sleepovers and the prom queen didn't like him, that culture drove him to really succeed in the world. The IPO they're talking about was for Axovant. Axovant, and we'll watch a little clip here. It was a company that was formed by Vivek to buy up drugs that had failed, that other drug companies weren't going to use because they didn't work. I mean, drug companies aren't stupid. They're not going to just throw away miracle drugs. They're throwing away drugs that failed in trials. And his company was going to buy them up and then test them again and hope that they actually worked and then sell them or something. I don't know. But it was the biggest IPO in history. An IPO is an initial public offering. It's like when, imagine a shitcoin in crypto terms. Imagine Hawktua coin. All right. Imagine you're Hawktua girl and you want to make a bunch of money. And so you make Hawktua coin and you release 50% or some portion of the available Hawktua coins. Again, I don't know all the drama about the Hawktua coins, so this isn't going to be exactly right. Or maybe it is, and I'll get lucky, but you'll get the idea. The way a shitcoin operates is you release a bunch of worthless coins onto the market while hanging on to a large portion of the coins. A bunch of idiots buy the shitcoin, driving the price from zero up. It could be up to anything. Because let's say they drive the price of the shit coin to $1 and you've got 1 million of those coins. Well, then you just dump those 1 million coins and you get $1 million. And then you stop developing it or pretending like it was ever a real thing in the first place and the price goes to zero and everyone that you just sold your 1 million coins to is just left holding the bag. Well, that's what happens with IPOs sometimes. That's what an IPO is. I mean, hopefully, if you're investing in an IPO, you hope that's not what it is. You hope that it's actually like a good asset, that it isn't going to just be, you're not going to be just left holding a bag. But often that is not the case. That's the risk. That's the gambling of Wall Street. And Axovant, Vivek Ramaswamy's company, was the biggest IPO. He founded it back in 2014. This is from the internet here. They focused on repurposing failed pharmaceutical drugs. The company's flagship project was Intaperdine. It was an experimental Alzheimer's drug that was previously shelved by GlaxoSmithKline due to poor results. So it was a Alzheimer's drug that didn't work. And GlaxoSmithKline, a gigantic pharmaceutical company who likes making money, determined that it didn't work, so they weren't going to sell it. So Axovant decided to buy it for nothing, and then went public and raised $315 million and reached a valuation of $3 billion at its peak, mostly because of the fast-talking Vivek Ramaswamy going on to TV shows and promoting his company, acting as if they were going to develop these drugs that had been thrown away in the trash by, you know, I mean, they were shitcoin drugs. And they were, and he was going to make them awesome somehow. And he aggressively marketed this Intaperdine as a breakthrough Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, cure-all drug for old people. And because there aren't any cures for that, lots of people invested in it thinking that it was going to, you know, pay off. Because if it, you know, if it did, if it worked, then the stock would skyrocket just like a shitcoin. Like if suddenly a shitcoin got adopted, like you'd saw these scams back in, well, around the same time period, really, with shitcoins, where shitcoins would release and they release all these fake press, you know, reports saying that, like, oh, look, you know, this banking institution is going to start using Hoctua coin to make money transfers, international money. You know, it was all bullshit, right? But the idiots would buy it up. Oh, that's crazy. It's going to go up, you know, infinite amounts. And then, it, you know, they're left holding the bag. Well, unfortunately, in 2017, they did clinical trials. And this miracle drug that had already been thrown in the trash, surprise, surprise, it performed as well as the placebo. In other words, it did nothing. It was garbage. It was a sugar pill. And when the news came out of the results of the trial, well, the stock value plummeted 90%. Wow, how did Vivek make so much money then? How did Vivek and his family make so much money? Unless he sold all of his stock off prior to the release of the news that the drug was bullshit. I don't know, I guess that is pretty high IQ, right? Isn't that's the kind of ingenuity we need more of in this country. That's the kind of quick thinking that we need in the tech industry. Here he is in 2015 pushing his bullshit here.
Summa cum laude graduate, congratulations.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Okay. Tell me why Glaxo kind of wrote this drug off and yet you have such great hopes for it.
So I obviously can't speak for other companies sure. other than Axovant, right. But what I can tell you is that RVT-101 is a unique drug that we actually think could help millions of patients with Alzheimer's disease. Our focus is actually on the treatment of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and other forms of dementia. We've actually put together what I view as a top-notch team in the industry involving the developer of the most widely used drug to treat Alzheimer's disease, who actually led our due diligence on this asset and actually will lead our development program going forward. And actually on our board of directors is the former head of neurosciences from GSK that actually led the development of this drug, who sits on our board right now, and all of those individuals are every bit as excited as we are about the development of the drug.
Notice how he's saying nothing. Notice how he's not saying, well, we're excited that it's going to work because we tried it out and it worked. No, he's saying, oh, we got top-notch people. We got top-notch people. That sounds eerily like the tech bros talking about wanting these Indian immigrants, doesn't it? Sounds eerily like them, huh?
Seen so far, because we know, as I said, there's a bunch of companies that have gotten phase two, and we get so excited, but then it doesn't work out in phase
Absolutely.
Three. Why do you think you're ahead of those other companies that have never been able to bring that to market?
That's a great question. Okay. And the thing in Alzheimer's disease to remember, and we remember this all the time at Axovant, is we don't fully understand the way the actual...
That's a great question. Let me not answer it now and talk about, just say a bunch of words.
Underlying disease work, not just us at Axovant, but the field more generally.
Right.
But the thing with RVT-101 is it's actually a neurotransmitter targeted therapy that actually in part works through the release of acetylcholine, which is already known to be an effective mechanism of action, because that's actually very similar to how the currently approved drugs work. Okay. And so the way the drug works is has been demonstrated in clinical trials. In a large phase 2B study with 684 patients, multinational, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, and this is the key, on the pre-specified analysis, not some type of reanalysis or subgroup analysis, but on the pre-specified analysis, the drug actually demonstrated statistically significant improvements in both cognition and in function out to 24 weeks in a way that was maintained out to a full year in time. So that's actually what we think makes this such an exciting opportunity, in addition to its safety and tolerability profile.
Womp womp. Funny though, funny that, because it was just as effective as placebo in the clinical trials. Weird that it showed all this promise, and then it worked exactly as well as placebos. For those of you who don't know, placebo is a nothing pill. What they do is they get a group of people with Alzheimer's, and they give half of them, you know, as an example, this shitcoin pill, and they give half of them nothing. It's a fake pill. It's a shitcoin pill that they know is a shitcoin pill. And then they look at the results, and the results were the same. So that's weird, huh? Weird. It showed all this promise. Big-brained Ramaswamy was selling people on it. And he was so confident because he didn't watch Friends.
It's a really well-tolerated drug, and you take it as one pill.
You know, sugar pills are a really well-tolerated drug, too.
Once a day, and we think that we're very excited about its development going forward.
Okay, well, let's look at it. We have to be skeptical. You were a former hedge fund manager. I would always be nervous when I would see a stock that would be as hot as this one. I don't believe you have anything else right now in the pipeline. If you were a hedge fund manager when you gotten shares in this stock and you just had seen Axivent and said, would you have rung the register today?
So, you know, I can't comment exactly on my investor seat, because right now I'm actually thinking about this as the person who's developing this
company. Of course, I'm not really trying to put you in the spot, but I tell you, if I were a hedge fund manager, I got it. I would have said, geez, that was a home run.
Let me speak directly to it then.
Okay.
I actually think the potential opportunity here is really tremendous for delivering value to patients. There's over 5 million patients who suffer from Alzheimer's disease in this country alone. And if you think about it, we own global rights to a drug that has already demonstrated in a large phase 2B study efficacy on the two parameters that the FDA has historically required for new Alzheimer's disease drugs. And actually, we believe we're only one additional phase 3 study away.
Oh, yes. We're only that one study away. That one study that would show it's as effective as placebo. So that's how he got his money. That's how Vivek Ramaswamy and his family got loaded. They're big-brained, high IQ, immigrant, hardworking, not friends watching, grubby little hands. That's how they got on all those, their grubby hands on those American dollars. But anyway, so Vivek Ramaswamy wasn't the only voice in this chorus of tech bros that pretended to be swayed by the superior arguments of people like us, telling them that, you know, oh no, we can't have this unlimited immigration, and we can't have, you know, the woke stuff is gone. It's gone too far. I didn't, you know, this is what they would say. I didn't leave the left. The left left me. And it's like, no, let's just say the left did leave you. The right came to meet you. Because the right, by in terms of the MAGA right, is by no means right wing at all at this point. So if you find yourself in the MAGA tent, it's not just that you're homeless. It's not just that the left left you, and now you're just spinning around like a leaf on the surface of a pond. No, the big MAGA tent came and gobbled you up. And they had to move quite a ways to the left to get there. And one of these people, of course, Well, this is just Vivek showing that a lot of the usual suspects were supportive of the things that Vivek said. This is Jack Posobiec trying to, again, hammer home that, it's what we're talking about when we talk about mass immigration of non-whites into the country is it's really about getting rid of affirmative action. You guys hate affirmative action, right? You know how for decades you've been complaining about affirmative action because it's disenfranchised white people for decades, and that actually way more explains why there aren't as many white people in STEM jobs than watching Friends? You know, the kind of stuff that even I saw when I was in high school and I went to go see my counselor when we got close to graduation. We had to go see the counselor to talk about what we wanted to do, what we wanted to go to school for, and I was waiting in the lobby and I picked up a pamphlet that was in the lobby, you know, left out there for kids to try to excite them about different careers. And one of them was from the NSA. And I was like a nerdy guy, a nerdy computer kid. And I'd watched that movie Sneakers or whatever. And I was like, oh, the NSA, they, you know, computer stuff. I could be like a computer spy or something. And I got that pamphlet and I looked at it. And like in the first paragraph of that pamphlet, it said, the NSA has lots of exciting opportunities, especially if you're a woman or a minority. It said, I don't remember the exact wording, but that's pretty fucking close. We have a lot of exciting opportunities here at the NSA, especially if you're a woman or a minority. And I was like, oh, so not for me, is what you're saying. And that's just one little cut of the death by a thousand cuts that white men in this country have been suffering. And you know this. You know this. That's why you lean on this term, affirmative action, to explain why we actually need to replace them even harder. Oh, we need to end affirmative action, that thing that bothered you so much in the 80s and 90s, that thing that made you get passed up for jobs that you were more qualified for simply because you were white. Well, now we need to pass you up for brown people who are more qualified. You know, no matter how we do it, you get the shit end of the stick. You see, if we favor race and ethnicity, well, you get fucked. And if we pretend to favor merit, you get fucked again. No matter how we do this, you get fucked. And affirmative action, he said, America is the land of meritocracy. That sounds good to the boomers who don't have to compete in the workplace anymore. That sounds good for all the people who they want to import by the millions. All the tech bros that want to hire those people they want to import by the millions. Including people like Elon Musk. Here's a tweet by Mario Knopfall. Says, Silicon Valley's biggest limitation, engineering talent shortage. The U.S. semiconductor industry alone needs over 160,000 engineers by 2032, driven by $250 billion in new investments. Demand for AI experts has skyrocketed, with Elon calling the talent war the craziest ever. Meanwhile, STEM programs struggle to produce enough graduates. This shortage threatens innovation, from AI to semiconductors, slowing progress and global competitiveness. Expanding STEM education, streamlining high-skilled immigration, and re-skilling workers are urgent solutions. Investing in talent is investing in the future. To which Elon replied, no, we need more like double that number yesterday. We don't have time, he's saying. We don't have time to try to train Americans to do these jobs that we've been disenfranchising them from. We don't have time to train these white people that we've been excluding from graduate programs because they're white men. We've already fucked them over once for being white. Let's fuck them over again. The number of people who are super talented engineers and super motivated in the U.S. is far too low. He doesn't explain why. He doesn't say because we've purposely excluded white people for generations from any of these programs, even if what he's saying is true, which I don't even think is true. I don't think there is a shortage. Think of this like a pro sports team. Yeah, why don't I do that, Elon? Why don't I think about my nation, my country, my people as a pro sports team? Why don't I do that? You know, everyone likes to think about their nation as a group of essentially overpaid slaves owned by a billionaire Jew. That's a great way to think of it. Let's do that. Think of this like a pro sports team. If you want your team to win the championship, you need to recruit top talent wherever they might be. That enables the whole team to win. No, that's what makes sports ball fucking gay and stupid. The fact that no one on the New York Yankees is actually someone from, well, maybe a couple of them, I don't know, maybe a few of them are from New York. But let's not pretend that like the city in the names of these sports teams has anything to do with the origin of the players. That's what makes it so fucking stupid. Because it's not, hey, let's get the best and brightest of the people of Las Vegas to go against the best and brightest or the most athletic, you know, of the people in Oakland and have them battle it out on a field somewhere and the best of each community wins. No, it's what billionaire Jew had enough money to import players from all over the world, some of whom don't even speak English, to play a meaningless game against some other team that was owned by Jews where they did the exact same thing, people from all over the world, to play in this big overhyped commercial event so we can sell merch. That's what you want to use as a metaphor for my country? That's what you want to use as a metaphor? That's how I'm supposed to view my nation? And yeah, that's because that's how he views the nation. Because he's one of the owners. And that's how team owners view teams. They don't see anything wrong with it. If they did, they wouldn't be recruiting people from all over the fucking world to play in their gay games. To them, it is all about just who can sell the most jerseys. Who can get the most money from pay-per-view events. Who can sell out the most tickets and sell the most $30 hot dogs to a bunch of beer-guzzling retards? Pardon me if I don't want my fucking nation to be reduced to something like that. Pardon me if I don't want my country to be a spectacle for rich people and morons. I am yes, you are no replied. There are over 330 million people in America. Surely there must be enough among them to build your ultimate team. Why would you deny real Americans that opportunity by bringing foreigners here? To which Elon responded, your understanding of the situation is upside down and backwards because we're all stupid. We're all fucking stupid, bottom line. Of course my companies and I would prefer to hire Americans. Bullshit. And we do as much as it's easier than going through the incredibly painful and slow work of the visa process. And he goes on to say that basically there's just not enough Americans. That it's doing the jobs Americans won't do. It comes down to this. Do you want America to win? Or do you want America to lose? See, do you want your team to win? Of course we have to go to Guatemala and get that shortstop, and then go to Cuba to get that guy that can hit the home runs. It doesn't matter that this team doesn't represent anyone in the community that's on the name. We're going to win. It's all about winning so we can sell more jerseys. If you force the world's best talent to play for the other side, Americans will lose. End of story. To which I replied, what does it matter if America wins if nobody in America is American? I know he saw it because we got 15,000 likes last time I looked. So I know I'm not just screaming into the void here. What does it matter? What does it matter if America wins? if it's not made up of Americans. It's like I've said before, they've kind of reduced our country to an apartment complex or a hotel chain. Do you care what happens to the hotel chain? If there's a fire in the hotel that you're staying at, do you run out and try to put the fire out? Or do you just get your suitcase and walk out and be like, wow, that was crazy, and go find another hotel room? Because that's what you're headed for. If that's all this is, if this country is just another company, if it's just another economic zone, why the fuck would I risk my life for it? If I'm just a customer and not a citizen, why the fuck would I risk my life for it? And people like Elon don't even understand this because he's never had to risk his life for a country. He doesn't have one. He's a rootless cosmopolitan. The only reason why he's in America in the first place is because it was more economically viable for him to be here. He would just as soon as be anywhere else if it made more economic sense. In fact, that's the kind of thinking that a lot of MAGA people applaud when they hear people like Elon say, hey, it's not economically viable for me to do my business in California anymore. I'm going to move to Texas. People say, bravo, Elon, bravo. What they don't realize is that's what he did when he came to America. It's not that he likes Texas because he likes cowboy boots. He likes barbecue. No, it's because he's going to have to pay fewer taxes. It's just a business decision. He can probably pay people a lot less, pay a lot less in taxes. That's as far as his loyalty goes. The second there's another opportunity somewhere else, it doesn't even have to be another state, it could be another country, Elon will pack his bags and move. Why wouldn't he? He's not American. And neither are people like Vivek. Nor will be the millions of people they want to bring in. Because they're coming here for the same reason. That's why Elon is able to relate to these people so profoundly. To say that there's something wrong with what they're doing would be to say there's something wrong with what he did. To point out that they're not real Americans, that they're simply here for economic opportunities, would be to point out that that's exactly what Elon has done. And that maybe there's something wrong with that. Same thing with Vivek. That's why these people can't be your allies. They don't have the same history that you have. They can't trace their ancestors back to the founding or even to like the Civil War or even the 1950s. You know, like they just showed up. They showed up to take advantage of the largesse that your white ancestors created in the same way that they seek to do that for others. What Elon and these others are attempting to facilitate for millions of immigrants from all over the world, it's just they're just doing what they did. They're just amplifying the problem, and they'll continue to do so. There won't be no end to it. Here's one of the faggots, speaking of shit coins, that made Dogecoin. He tweeted out, if you're anti-skilled immigration, it just means you're insecure. Because you're bad at stuff, and competition makes you scared. And you want daddy government to come save you. Oh, you hear that? You hear that, McFly? What are you, chicken? You're just scared. You want daddy government to come save you. I replied to him, you know, people that don't want to defund the police, they're just doing that because they're bad at violence and they're scared and they want daddy government to come save them. Low IQ libertarian. Of course, I got blocked and he deleted the tweet because it was fucking stupid. Another example of someone who obviously knows how important it is to be clever and big-brained. Let's make a shitcoin. Let you know, his big claim to fame is he literally got a... He didn't even write the code. They basically copied Litecoin. That's what they did. I can make Dogecoin. I've made a cryptocurrency because all this stuff's open source. It's not hard. You can just get the open source code for Litecoin and then just change a couple things and now you've got Dogecoin, which is basically what they did. That's basically what they did. And then get my tech friends to think it's funny and use it to rip off a bunch of Redditors, which is also what they did. Very similar. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's a little, you know, one could maybe point out some parallels between how that money was made and how Vivek made his money. You ever wonder how much money Elon Musk has maybe made by buying a bunch of shit coins and Bitcoin and then tweeting about it, pumping it up, and then selling a bunch of it and rug pulling people? You'll never know that answer to that question. You'll never know the answer to that question, but I guarantee you it would be infuriating. And again, people on the MAGA voters are saying, well, this is our big gamble. Now's our chance. Okay, we get it. The tech bros, they are now being extra loud about what they want to do. We now know that they're actually serious. Before, we were delusional and we thought they had to say that for some reason. I don't know why. But now we can pressure Trump. We can pressure Trump, who's already been elected and doesn't ever have to get reelected ever again, who owes a lot of favors to a lot of these people, and who in June of this year, that's almost over, said this.
But what I want to do and what I will do is you graduate from a college. I think you should get automatically as part of your diploma, a green card to be able to stay in this country. And that includes junior colleges, too. Anybody graduates from a college, you go in there for 2 years or 4 years. If you graduate or you get a doctorate degree from a college, you should be able to stay in this country.
Folks, it makes absolutely no sense, by the way, that we send home 40,000 engineers and scientists who earn a PhD in our university every year, and we send them back home. We should be stapling a green card to each and every one of those degrees as they walk across the stage.
Basically the same. Basically the same. Again, almost as if they don't want to solve the problem. I don't know how you pressure Trump when that's what he was saying back in June. Oh, I guess it's he had to say that, right? He had to say that. He was just lying because I didn't like what he said. He was lying. So there's no way he'll approve that. That's just these tech bros running their mouth. Trump doesn't agree with it. That's why he's been so silent. Now, a lot of things, something else you guys got to think about. It's not just the millions of people that they'll bring into the country. You'll have the chain migration. You'll have all of their families. They will bring in all of their immediate families, to the degree that they can get even their friends hired with other visas, with fake diplomas, because that's another thing that people don't realize happens and to a great degree. There's a lot of fraud. A lot of fraud. Surprise, surprise. There's a lot of fraud in fucking India, home of the scam calls that people get, where they scam old people out of their money all day long. Who would have thought there'd be like fake degrees being handed out to Indians to get visas to come to the country and be dead weight at these tech companies? But in addition to that, all these people that they bring in, they're going to bring their families in, and then they're going to have kids. So it's going to be these millions of people, plus their families, plus all of the children of these millions of people and their families. And once again, these aren't people that are coming and hanging out in front of Home Depot to get $5 an hour to retile your bathroom. These are people that are going to be making $100,000 a year. These are the kinds of people that will start determining elections. These are the people that will form super PACs. These are the people that will run for office, like Vivek Ramaswamy. Because we know they're not going to make their kids watch Friends. This is just reiterating what I said earlier, that, hey, Donald Trump, if America is just a company, then we are just employees. Once people figure out the updated terms of service of the social contract, don't expect them to die in your wars or have any more loyalty to you than the average Taco Bell cashier has for the CEO of Yum Brands. For those who don't know, that's the parent company of Taco Bell. And that's precisely what you're going to have. You think that there isn't any social cohesion now. Wait till people figure it out. Wait till people figure out that, oh, so it's not really a country. It's not really a country. I'm just staying here. I'm just staying here and buying your products and working for you. But it's just a hotel room that anyone can come and stay at. That if I leave this hotel room, you'll just book it for someone else. I don't get my name on the door even. It's just a number. I don't get to decorate the hotel room the way I want. It's just there for me to sleep. You know, I made the point here. The current insane view of the Trump administration and its advisors is that everyone on earth is an American that just hasn't been hired yet. Everyone on earth is an American that hasn't been hired. And that's the truth. Or to put it another way, literally everyone on earth is an undocumented immigrant who hasn't arrived. How tell me how I'm wrong. Scott Adams, echoing a lot, you know, this is the response. They have to really take that off the table. The race thing really has to get off the table. You have all these people, these fucking robots, these people like Scott Adams trying to say it's not about race. Identity politics is bad. You know, with Scott Adams, part of me thinks that he's just behind like by 5 to 10 years on everything and he eventually comes around. And part of me is just like, no, he's just, yeah, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't know. But all the same, Scott Adams tweets out this video saying identity politics means you can't change your situation. Meritocracy means you can. Which one makes you sad? And it comes with this video that he plays where they're talking about, oh, leftist people are so sad. And it's because they do identity politics.
10 years ago, you wrote, conservative women seem to be particularly blissful. About 40% say they're very happy. That makes them slightly happier than conservative men and significantly happier than liberal women.
Yeah.
The unhappiest of all are liberal men. Only about a fifth consider themselves very happy.
That was true 10 years ago. Liberal women have overtaken liberal men as the unhappiest group. You find that particularly young women, very interesting new data show that white liberal women under 30 have almost a 6 in 10 chance of having been diagnosed with a mental illness.
Well, actually, the real problem isn't identity politics. All politics is identity politics, as I said in the reply where we did ratio him, which is good. I'm always surprised that every time I ratio him, I always think that maybe this is the time he'll block me, and he hasn't yet. So kudos to Scott, at least for that. As I said, all politics is identity politics. The people who are truly sad are the people with no identity, and that's true. Why do you think leftist white women would be sad? Because they don't have an identity other than that they're bad for being white. Their entire identity is they're shitty. They're shit, they're trash, they're garbage, and everyone else is better than them. They've swallowed it wholesale. The only reason why the conservative women or men, for that matter, are any different is as much as they might, in rhetoric, say they don't believe in identity politics, they have an idea of who they are. And they don't buy that we're somehow guilty of all this shit that Jews have been shoving down our throat forever. All politics is identity politics. What's making people depressed is they don't have an identity. The people, the white people that feel disconnected and lost and feel shitty and depressed, it's because they're not allowed to have an identity as a white person. Because of bullshit like this.
So they call President Trump a racist. Think Joe Biden could do this? I don't think so. All Americans love President Trump. Maybe the Democrats are the racists.
Yes. Maybe the... Ah! Oh, good Lord. But you see people backing up Elon. In fact, hilariously, Alex Jones is as much as he talks about globalists, is being a globalist. Elon says, maybe this is helpful clarification, referring to bringing in the immigration, the top 0.1% of engineering talent. You know, he's making excuses for wanting to bring people into the country. To which Alex Jones says, this is globalist. This is definitionally globalist, what he's saying. He says, it's a classic American policy to brain drain the best from across the planet, globalism, and bring them here. Musk has always advocated for this policy, which he has, by the way. Everyone bitching that Elon has flip-flopped are either ignorant or lying. No, they believe the lie. Or I think they're, most of them just believed a lie. They lied to themselves. Elon, to a great extent, is the poster child for this program working. See globalism working. Elon is the poster child for globalism working. He's finally lived long enough to see himself become the enemy. And then you got James Lindsay, of course, getting mad at me, posting a screenshot where I wanted to put it to people in a way that would make them at least think about it in terms that are racial. By saying, isn't it about time you grew a pair and admitted that, yes, you did mean make America white again this whole time? Because I think a lot of people secretly did. A lot of people not so secretly did, but a lot of people secretly did. A lot of people, when they would say make America great again, in their minds, what were they imagining? Were they imagining a bunch of Indians working tech jobs? No, they weren't. Were they imagining a time in the past when, you know, that's the implication, right? You're making America great again. The implication is America was once great before, and it didn't get crap overnight. So that before is a time that's decades in the past. And what was America decades in the past? It was whiter. And so if you're talking about make America great again, you're talking about making it white again. And in fact, the left, who is sometimes curiously more honest than the right, that's exactly what they said back in 2016 when Trump was running. They said that he was dog whistling to the racists, saying that, oh, all these racists are going to hear that. And what he's saying is they want to go back to when it was a white country again. And everyone swore up and down, no, you're the real racist. I'm Charlie Kirk. And I'm a faggot. No. What they were saying was true. That is what was resonating with lots of racists, lots of white people who were afraid to be called racist, but deep down missed the country that they grew up in that was white. And yes, that was telling them, if you're going to make it great again, you're going to make it back how it was when I was a kid, that part of that deal was making it demographically great again. Philosophicat, or philosophy cat, people always say philosophicat, I don't know, says, well, we certainly didn't mean make America brown again. James Lindsay, of course, is like, these are the people. These are the people Elon's talking about. Yeah, I bet he is. And what that's a reference to is Elon is deboosting people who disagree with this. Turns out he doesn't care about free speech. Turns out this was never about free speech. This was about pushing a message that was advantageous to Elon. And the second the agenda shifted, the second that, as I said before, when you have these people who are not you and you prop them up as leaders and you act as if they're somehow going to save the day like Superman, and at the time in those moments that, you know, your goals seem to align, there seems to be a lot of intersection between what you guys want, and so you feel nice and comfy, one day those paths hit a fork. There's a fork in that road. Those paths separate. And now you're the useful idiot. He's not. Elon's not the useful idiot. He's the one that owns Twitter. And so you've seen lots of accounts lose their verification. There's people ask me, you know, Devin, you've had these, some of these tweets that will get like millions and millions of views. You could probably make some money if you paid for that stupid check mark. No thanks. If I had, right, it'd be gone already. It'd be gone. It's funny because people ask me, how much money do you make? I'm like, zero. I've never... I'm not engagement farming. I don't get paid. I don't want to be influenced by that. Gad Sad here said, you know, Elon retweeted this and said, yes. Because, you know, Elon's, in addition to suppressing the accounts he doesn't like, he likes to boost the accounts of usually run by Jews, almost like, I mean, Leather Apron Club needs to do that analysis, but I guarantee you it's like super, maybe he has, but it has to be crazy lopsided. A huge percentage, a definite majority, a super majority of the tweets and the accounts that Elon boosts, good old Oak Tree, Elon, whose name is that weird name, Elon, it's Oak Tree in Hebrew. He went to a Hebrew school when he was younger. These accounts are often Jewish. Gad Sad, of course, is Jewish. He said, I've made roughly as much money on X this year than I did in 10 years on YouTube. It's amazing how superior this platform is to all others combined. If your goal is to discuss and spread ideas, which I said only if Elon likes your ideas. Because that's the truth. You'll lose your verification or you won't. Like he's just Susan Wojcicki on a different platform. Maybe you get away with it for like the first couple months. Like I got away with it on YouTube, right, for a couple of months. And I was like, damn, I can actually make some money doing these videos I'm doing. And then womp womp, not anymore, goy. And the same fate is being faced by a lot of these people on that has basically some of these people that was their whole business model, was making money on Twitter. Now I'll tell you what, it's not all bad news necessarily, and the reason I say this, I'm going to give you a fraction of a white pill. Just keep in mind that we haven't tested this white pill yet, and it might work as well as the placebo when we actually go to the clinical trials. So I'm going to disclose this to you, that this white pill may not be effective. It may just be a placebo. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. There have been some very boomery MAGA accounts like Tom Fitton. Tom Fitton is from, what's the name of that law thing that he runs? Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. I forgot the name of it. I used to socialize barely with a couple of the people that worked there when I lived in D.C. They don't work there now, but this was years ago. Judicial Watch, that's what it was. So he's from Judicial Watch, and he's not what you would call like a based, you know, race-pilled kind of guy. You know, I don't think he's ever mentioned like the JQ or anything like that. He's as establishment as, you know, in terms of MAGA. He lives in D.C. He works in D.C. He has for a long time. His organization has existed off the, you know, the donations of boomers and Jews and MAGA, you know. So it, you know, we're talking not very controversial in terms of, you know, he's not a dissident by any means. And he's just one of many examples of this. I have noticed that some of these more mainstream accounts are taking a hard line. Again, I think it's a little late for this, but all the same, you have Tom Fenton who tweeted and then retweeted, apparently. The federal government is incapable of managing immigration flows. We should consider an immigration moratorium for a period of time. So he's actually discussing a moratorium on immigration. Now, this isn't the only example. I was doing a lot of traveling, driving around the last couple of days. And as I've mentioned in the past, I will often find myself listening to AM radio in these situations. AM radio. And I picked up some radio show that I'd never really heard before. It was called the Jesse Kelly Show. And there was some guy who was subbing for him because it was the holidays. And I think he was a senator, actually. He was some MAGA, I forget who it was. But he was friends with that guy with the Jerusalem cross that they nominated for DOD. What is it? Pete Hegseth or whatever. I forget how you say his last name. But you know what I'm talking about. And the guest that he had on was literally a CIA agent. As is often the case, I'm discovering with a lot of these mainstream AM radio boomer propaganda shows. And when I tuned in, I was like, I just want to know, with all this going on, what's the boomer propaganda machine telling boomers about it? Because Vivek got enough pushback, and Elon was getting enough pushback to where it was exiting Twitter. It was breaking away from the orbit of Twitter and entering the rest of the solar system. And that's when these people often have to at least comment on it and put a spin on it. So the boomers who maybe their son or nephew or whoever mentions something about, you know, Vivek saying something crazy, they have to be told what to think about it because they don't know. And, you know, they're not on Twitter or whatever. And so I'm expecting, like, oh, well, let's see. What are they? And I wish I'd recorded it, but it was not too I mean, they didn't say put a moratorium on immigration, but they did say, well, this is what those tech guys want. But, and they were very diplomatic. I like Vivek, and he's a good guy and whatever, but I have to disagree. And I think that, you know, there are people in America that can do it, and I don't think we should have any of these visas anymore. So, look, I don't know. Like I said, this was the big gamble, right? This is the big gamble of Trump voters. They said that, well, even though, you know, we don't really have any leverage at all, we'll pressure Trump after the election. And look, he's not even sworn in yet. So, you know, I guess we're in the wait and see game. I'm just telling you, it's not looking good. It's not looking good because Trump, like I said, back in June and repeatedly afterwards, I mean, it didn't stop in June, has said over and over and over again that that's exactly what he intends to do. He's been convinced by, I mean, he's old. Even if Trump wasn't shit, which I kind of, you know, his first term was shit. I mean, it was good in ways, just not from a policy perspective or results, really. You know, but like, you know, culturally, it was good. It was good culturally. I don't know that it'll be culturally good this time around, because I think it's going to have a negative effect. It's going to put people to sleep in the same way a lot of people were put to sleep towards the end of his first term. But I think he's going to deliver on these. He's going to expand these visas. He's going to deliver on this stuff. And the difference is going to be, had Kamala done it, the Tom Fittons of the world, who will probably clam up, or, you know, maybe they'll say a little bit if Trump starts to do it, They'll complain on Twitter for a little bit, but they'll move on. But a lot of MAGA will just accept it. They'll accept this colorblind meritocracy that they keep saying over and over again. You know, you want to get rid of affirmative action, don't you, Goy? But if it was Kamala, all these people would be at volume 11 screaming about it. All the people that are making excuses for Vivek and Elon right now because they're terrified of losing their verification checkmark and their Twitter checks, they would be much louder if it was Kamala talking about it. And they'd be very upset with her. And and look, it wouldn't be lost on them that she's a woman and an Indian. So instead of trying to make excuses for Indians like Vivek, they would be joining in all of our shit talking of the Pegitos. But anyway, that's what's been going on. That's we'll see. Like I said, Trump hasn't even been sworn in yet. It's been a blackpilling, but predictably so. A blackpilling, but predictably so. A few months since the election. And I suspect that it's just going to be more of the same. That's what I said back in October and before that. And that's what I have continued to say. It's funny because when I was on Millennial, which, by the way, we've blown away the numbers. We're definitely number one on that one. I went on a rant. This is before, the Elon Vivek stuff, like just a couple days before. Went on a big, long rant about exactly this, as this was going to happen. And this is what's happening. So, which isn't to say, like, again, I wasn't, by no means was I the only one saying that. And as I said, Trump himself was saying it. It's just a lot of people were blind to it. A lot of people were believing what they wanted to believe. And so often that's the case. And by the way, that's why things have to get worse before they get better. It has to get so bad that even the people that want to be cheerleaders are fucking blackpilled. The reason why it's important to black people isn't to, oh, you want to just throw people into despair and inaction. No, I want people to give up on this fucking building that needs to be fucking torn down and rebuilt. And I want you to stop trying to get the duct tape out and tape around the foundation. I want you to put down the great stuff, expanding foam, trying to fill in all the little fucking cracks and crevices. I want you to stop painting over the cracked paint. I want you to stop pretending like this building shouldn't be condemned. I want you to be in an emotional spot where you're comfortable tearing it the fuck down and building something better. Because that's what has to happen. You cannot fix this. And you certainly can't fix it by inviting a bunch of Indians over to help you with the duct tape. All right. Well, let's say... with that, let's take a look at Hyper Chats. All right. My throat's... You can tell my voice is not doing great. I'm not losing the voice yet. I might be coming down with something. I'm trying to mega dose vitamin C. But I've been around sick people. So we'll see what happens here. Let's take a look here. A real Ubermensch. A real Ubermensch with a real big dono. Real Ubermensch says, was hoping to give more, but my wife just told me we're having a third white child. Well, that's awesome. So I'm back to saving mode. You had a great year. Keep it up. Well, I appreciate that. And no reason to apologize. Very generous of you. Appreciate that. Real Ubermensch. Graham Playing Games says the scorn against Musk on Twitter since Christmas has been pretty keeno. Sam Hyde had a few good posts about it. I think it's a good thing. Maybe this shows that people aren't going to sleep with a Trump presidency, hopefully. Well, again, there's no leverage. It doesn't matter. I think that's true of some people. I think that's true of some of the people who are deluding themselves into believing it wasn't going to be like this. But there's a lot of people who don't care that it's like this. There's a lot of Scott Adams, in other words. There's a lot of civic nationalists that are totally fine with this. There are, believe it or not, there are people that agree with James Lindsay. And it's easy for us to get into this this perception that we are a louder voice than we are because of the digital ghettos that we sometimes find ourselves in. But you got to remember, like a lot of people still, I think we're making progress. If I didn't, then, you know, this would be kind of pointless, but I think that we are kind of, you know, we are spreading our ideas are spreading to more people. But I don't think that, you know, I don't think people are waking up. I don't think they ever do. I think generally people, they side with whoever they think is more powerful. And we are not more powerful. We don't appear more powerful. You know, Elon appears more powerful. Trump appears more powerful. Vivek appears more powerful. And that's who most people are like, oh, well, they probably have it figured out. They're smart and have money. Occidental Front says, I went back and watched the Big Bear Flat Earth Antarctica video. I feel I should defend his honor after, well, no, don't defend his honor. He's a lying faggot. He lied and said that I doxed him. After on video, threatening to dox me in the creepiest fucking way possible. After all, he caught a beer falling off a piano while playing it once, so he obviously has a ridiculously high IQ. First of all, you misinterpreted his flawless argument. Okay, I see you're using satire. Or you're being sarcastic. What he said was, models are gay. If you need a working model, you're gay. And secondly, we don't know what the shape is, but we do know it's not round. Case closed. Yeah, he's a real you know, mind to be reckoned with, isn't he? Yeah. He's become a lolcow at this point, as far as I can tell. Graham Playing Games says there is this tech guy, AI and crypto futurist named Ed Krasenstein. You know, one of those guys, huh? Jewish, outright talks about how white people will be mixed out of existence, and it's a good thing. Says it's just evolution. I hate that argument, and mass immigration is just natural, as if it's not facilitated and intentional. Yeah, I mean, look, breeding programs in captivity are not natural. They're just not. I mean, they're natural in that the act itself, well, not even actually, a lot of times it's artificial insemination, you know, in some of these instances. What we're experiencing is no different than a breeding program that's done in a controlled environment in captivity. We're in captivity. We're clearly a captive audience. We don't have any say over the direction of our country. We are just along for the ride, or for the hotel stay, I guess you might say. Rock Paladin. Rock Paladin says, at least some of the MAGA base is revolting against the H-1B visa push by Elon and Vivek. Personally, I think it's a small shimmer of hope in an otherwise grim picture of the next 4 years. Another worthless senile old man who is letting his government be run by other more switched on individuals. There you go. Graham Playing Games. Oh, wait. Okay, this is different. Krasenstein is a friend of Elon. He also gets very pissed when people call out the Jews. But also, I just really loathe his dishonest idea and its natural evolution. The races will mix. So they just updated where to go. And Europeans will be dissolved. For some reason, it's not happening to Indians or Asians like the Chinese. Well, that's because they have like entire continents to themselves and they don't have open borders and they're not inviting the third world to come hang out with them. Only white countries seem to be doing that. Volga German says, what a faggot Occidental Front is. Why would you say that? I think you probably misunderstood that he was being facetious. Gorilla hands. With the sand gorilla.
Hello, I'm Amy. I'm Amy. Good, Amy.
All right, it looks like the cat is out of the bag and it isn't even inauguration day. I would say Elon and Vivek sold us out, but they were never one of us to begin with. Same with Trump. They're billionaires and most certainly don't see us as their equals. We need to grow up and realize we're on our own. Exactly. They don't see you as their equals. They see you as peasants, and they are handing down dictates from above. And then you say, with all of us waking up to this betrayal and realizing that we were sold out, I think you might have gotten a Christmas present, Devin. Hopefully we don't let it go to waste. Yeah, I think there are some people that are, they're coming around a little bit quicker than they would have, previously. And, look at it. It helps the not with my credibility, but with the credibility of the ideas that we're trying to spread. And so that people will understand that, like, wow, maybe it's not smart to trust these guys next time around, but who knows? Again, people seem to have very short memories. But thank you for the support there, Gorilla Hands. Bofidi says, hey, Dev, have you seen the CNN interview with George Floyd, second grade teacher, Waynell Sexton? If you want a good laugh, Google that name and watch the video. She saved his second grade project where he says he wanted to be a Supreme Court justice when he grew up. It's so fake and cringe. Well, there you go. And there's another one of our great Americans. Zazzy McTazbot says, I'm sure you get asked how much honey you get from a hive, but how much wax do you get from a hive? That all depends on, I mean, really zero unless, you know, unless you take the wax from your bees. I don't know really, because it's been zero for me because I'm expanding. So any wax I get goes back to the bees immediately. In fact, I've had to buy wax to wax my frames. Because, you know, even the ones that come waxed, pre-waxed, it's never enough. And so if you want them to dry out the comb, you just have to put another coat on there to want to do it. So I'll let you know when I get to a point where I actually have a surplus of it. Right now it's like I'm always behind. So I don't know what, I mean, you can probably look up what would be typical. I don't know how they would calculate. Maybe they'd do it by frame or something. Cause you could say a honey super is about 40 pounds of honey, or I mean, a hive can do about, not one honey super, but well, I don't know. I don't know that yet either, because a lot of my honey goes back to the bees too. I'll probably have better answers to these questions next year, hopefully, if we get some rain this time. Zazzy McTaz, but again, I'm glad no one showed up to my Colts Christmas party. Someone spiked the punch, Jonestown style, but being a bit of a perfectionist, he tasted it first and inadvertently saving us all. Oh well, you live and learn. I guess you will be missed. Number 22. And that was the unfortunate end to your cult Christmas party. Maybe that was the Fed in your organization. Chosen Jawa says, the oak tree sure let the mask slip, didn't he? Well, like I said, he was always kind of saying this. He's just saying it louder now. Or I don't know, maybe more people are believing him when he says it. But he was saying this during the first Trump administration. It's funny, there was a guy who, before he realized the date on the tweet, tried to say that I was wrong about Trump, because he had a tweet from 2020, back when Trump was against H-1B1 visas. And it was Elon saying, oh, we can't shut this down. And like Trump was like, oh, we need to get rid of these visas. And then I was like, oh, maybe Trump is pushing back. And I looked at the day, I was like, oh, it's from 2020. Never mind. But yeah, it just Elon's been saying this shit forever. Watch the Collapse says, Devin vindicated again, thanks to Elon. You made a post about people who are truly sad, having no identity. So true. Maybe Trump getting in and replacement getting ramped up. Whites may just get radicalized like some parts of Europe. Love you, Dev. Hope your holiday was good, brother. Well, it's so far so good, and I appreciate that. And yeah, I think that that'll necessarily happen is things get worse. And look, I'm not, when I say when things get worse for whites, it's a necessary evil. I'm not saying that because like I'm looking forward to it. I don't like that that's going to happen. I'm not like excited that it's going to happen. It's a necessary step in, to get to where we need to be because people don't feel the pain. They're so drugged up on their, their cushy, nerfy middle, lower middle class life that they don't feel the pain enough to get out of their fucking couch. And that's kind of what's going on. The heat needs to be turned up a little bit for people to notice. Something Uber Slubaduba. I'm going to have it, read by.
Eris CHES Uber Lieben.
There we go. Hey, Dev and I have been an avid fan since Nice Until We're Not, and really got into your content with Defiant, which I saw a day or two after its release. This is my first time donating and long overdue. I don't have or make much money, but I'm proud to donate money to an awesome cause. Well, I appreciate that. And, whatever you can do, that's awesome. Look, if everyone donated what you donated, like that would be insane, actually. you did a good job. Thank you. Chosen Jawa says, with MLK Day on horizon, would you consider an MLK stream? A lot of subversion to discuss regarding King and his handlers. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. I don't know if I've done like a full-on MLK stream, but that might not be a bad idea. Talk about who was writing his speeches and maybe some of the more controversial aspects to MLK and the recordings the FBI have of him in the archives that we're not allowed to listen to. Your name again that I can't say. And you say, I miss retarded faggot. I think we all do. And you say, you can't agree with everyone or with everything everyone says except for Devin Stang. Well, I appreciate that. Maybe that is true of some people, but I'm sure there's even people in the audience that think that I'm wrong on at least some things. Mark Espy says, I randomly watched an Unsolved Mysteries with wanted man Joseph Prushanowski. Was like watching an episode of the Insomnia Stream. Spoiler alert, he conned banks out of $200 million and fled to Israel, where he was arrested. I might have done an Insomnia Stream on that guy. I might have. That sounds familiar. I don't know if that's the right name. Maybe there's so. That's the problem, is there are so many of these fucking guys. I don't know if it was that guy or another guy just like him. But there was a Jew from Unsolved Mysteries that I did a stream on. I'm almost positive, like a couple years ago. Hikuru with the big Christmas dono.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
the Magic Negro.
Christmas tree.
All right. Long time caller, first time listener, replay gang since the YouTube days. Merry Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Hakuru, and welcome to the chat, I guess. And thank you very much for the very generous support. Hammer of Thorzine. This morning in Portland suburb, I saw new graffiti that appeared overnight saying deny, defend, depose. This area cleans graffiti within a week. By noon, it was painted over. It seems to be a oy vey shut it down moment, as someone in medicine insurance is that bad. Healthcare shouldn't be free, but it also shouldn't be full of bloat. Pharmacies are bad, too. They drive up costs, charging insurance hundreds for what you can buy for cheap. Bureaucracy is the enemy, as it exists to insulate its members from responsibility while leeching money from its prey. Right. I'll tell you one thing. One thing that libertarians are not totally wrong about is if you were to deregulate to some degree, I mean, you wouldn't want it to be like a Wild West necessarily, but if you were to deregulate to some degree, a lot of this healthcare shit would be the same price as, you know, buying M&Ms, because the demand is around the same and it's not much more to manufacture some of the, you know, look, is there R&D and other costs? Sure. But I mean, they're making so much fucking money, already with the fucked up system the way that it is, and having competition. I mean, the fact that you can go to Mexico and buy these same medications for nothing, and a lot of people do, like, it's cheaper for people to go to Mexico from sometimes a northern state. They'll go all the way and just stock up, you know, on fucking meds and then come back across. I mean, there's lots of old people that do that or get procedures done down there. I mean, that's ridiculous. People act like, oh, America's got the best fucking healthcare in the world. It's like, well, then why do some people go to Mexico to get, some of these things that should just be normal, you know, like LASIK surgery, right? Like, getting your eyes done or something like that. You know, just the kinds of procedures that aren't, that at this point they're not cutting edge anymore. It almost feels like they should have a drive through for some of this stuff, but they're still really expensive because of all the red tape. Maybe next time, says there was a Cold War. Black pilled saying, if you're an optimist, learn Russian. If you're a pessimist, learn Chinese. For some reason, Hindi was not mentioned. There was a Cold War black pilled saying. If you're an optimist, learn Russian. If you're a pessimist, learn Chinese. Isn't India that they speak? There's more people that, because, you know, colonialism. They a lot of them speak English, and I think this is a real statistic. More people speak English in India than the rest of the world, or it's something like that. It's something crazy like the country with the most English speakers is India. Which is more about how many fucking people live in India than anything else. Endless war. Endless war. Dave Vaughn, as a fan of down-tempo and trip-hop, I always dig your intro music, but I want to know, where do you stand on the band Tool? I don't really listen to them. I had one of their albums, like, in the 90s. I had, like, a CD of, I think it was Undertow. And it was all right back then. I mean, I haven't listened to that kind of music in a long time. But I had... I think I've even played one of their songs is one of the intro songs before. But yeah, I'm not like a expert on Tool or anything like that. I'm sure it's degenerate like most music. There's no getting around it. Pride Assassin says, parenting tip, single father of two. I hate shopping. I hate screaming brats in the grocery store even more. To prevent that, I devised a plan. Number one, routine and consistency. Number two, make them part of the process. Sit them down and make a list. Three, we only get what is on the list. What do you want? Veto power. Right then and there. Four, if you see something you want, put it on the list for the next trip. Five, again, only getting what is on the list. Six, as they get older, I gave them their own lists and had them race to see who could get or finish it faster for a small reward, and it got me out faster. Well, I'll tell you what, that's interesting, but one thing that stuck out to me is some of these first steps would actually apply to how the ruling class could keep the public from screaming brats, as it were, right? Make them part of the process. Sit them down and have them make a list, you know? And then they still have veto power, you know, but they feel like they're part of the process. So in a way, it pacifies, doesn't matter what your age is, it pacifies humans to make them think, oh no, you're part of a process, guys. No, that's why they want you to vote, by the way. This is when people get mad at me when I said I wasn't going to vote. It's like, no, that you're you can't complain now. For the next 4 years, yeah, you voted for this, and you believed in the process. I didn't vote for this. But that's a way to pacify, I think, people of all ages. But there you go. Good dad advice as well. Hammerhead Cow says, "Hello, Devin. A culture that venerates garbage, our culture produces probably isn't venerating excellence over mediocrity, either. Otherwise, places like India wouldn't be shitholes that they are." Well, that's the thing. If Indian culture was so, if it was the C word, if it was all about culture, and that's what determined things, then India wouldn't be a giant fucking hellscape. Grenade says, "I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and I wish you a Happy New Year. 2025, I know Lynx are gay, but here's a funny rendition on the Beaner Christmas song being blasted in every mall in America for you to enjoy if you feel down." If I wasn't losing my voice, I'm trying to power through these, but people can check that if they want. I won't gay link you, though. Goy Boy 1488 with the big dono.
"Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is." All right. And simply said, look how Jewy this fag is. I wonder which account on Twitter you're talking about there. Hammerhead Cow says, "Like, hasn't this faggot Vivek ever taken a gander at the shit films and music India produces?" Well, like most non-whites, Vivek suffers from a undeserved racial narcissism. As you'll notice, a lot of the Indians on Twitter were responding to the pushback with naked aggression that made it obvious that we're not the same. We're not the same, and they have not quote unquote assimilated and never will. Goy Boy 1488 says, "For retarded faggot." Well, I appreciate that, and so does he, I'm sure, if he's out there somewhere. American Knight.
"Wise money management.
Where's the rest?"
"Thank you.
I want to believe that the massive pushback against Elon on X is a good sign. But unfortunately, I think this is going to be like every other massive problem that gets forgotten in a week." I don't know that it'll be forgotten totally in a week because it is such a big issue. But I do think once Trump, should he decide to go through with it, it will be forgotten because he's the guy. You know, he's the head. He's the head of the snake. As it were. Dr. Weeb says, "I'm incredibly exasperated and frustrated with plan trusters. Naivete is bottomless." Yeah, the copium supplies are unlimited, unfortunately. Lots, you know, white pills are free, you know. And by the way, the reason why they're free is that it pays better to white pill people. People would much rather hear what they want to hear. You know, the reason why, there's a bigger market for white pills is that's who wants a black pill? That makes me uncomfy. Brody says, "I am concerned about Elon pushing H-1B visas as well as Vivek calling Americans lazy and mediocre. This is not good. They are not America first." Well, they're not Americans, neither one of them. Man of low moral fiber, "Do you think the Jews overplayed their hand a little bit with the rapid shift to the Indians instead of the Mexicans? They gave the blacks and Mexicans a sob story, but outside of the British, there's less white guilt towards Indians. Indian hate seems more common and acceptable among normies." Well, on Twitter, maybe. I don't think that in real life it's not about a victim. That's why they're shit. That if you listen, they're not talking about like, oh, we need to let them in because of some past wrong. They're saying that it's not about race. It's all about, we have to let people in, you know, regardless of race. And it's all about merit. And that appeals to people because they'll say, well, what, you know, like, because at that point, here's the good thing. At that point, the only argument you can make is a racial one. If you accept, I mean, I don't accept their premise, but if you accept their premise, which the right always does, the right can never just say, I reject your premise. They always have to like accept the premise and argue within the premise that's the false premise that's given to them. But in this case, it actually is kind of good because what will happen is what's left. Like if you have a, let's say you work in an industry where you have to work with Indians and you kind of get it and you're like, I don't know, this doesn't make sense. And, or, you know, maybe some of that racial solidarity is starting to wake up a little bit inside you. You just don't have a name for it yet. Can't put your finger on it. You're just reacting to some kind of instinctual feeling that you've got. What's left? You can't, the only argument you can make if they say that this is all merit-based and you only don't want people to come in out of some kind of racial issue, well, I mean, you kind of have to say, you're right. I don't want to let them in because of a racial issue. And that's, we need more white people to get there. So I kind of think, you know, this is I think that's it. It's going to bring some people there, some people. And the more we can get there in that place is, and that's number one. If nothing else, if we can't accomplish anything else in our lifetimes, if we can just get white people to think racially, that would be, I mean, just imagine what, that's an accomplishment. We'd be undoing decades of World War II propaganda. I mean, it'd be great. And I think it's achievable, honestly. Land of the Fake, Home of the Gay says that Penguins Zero YouTube streamer lamented earlier this year that his Aussie gaming team members were stopped by U.S. immigration. The U.S. federal government is thoroughly anti-white, plain and simple. Yeah, I've known a lot of Europeans that get hassled and have to follow rules to the T when they come to America. And whereas apparently if they were to be brown and show up at the southern border, they'd be given a free plane ticket to the interior and a visa, a prepaid visa card. Hammerhead Cow says U.S. elections have always been corrupt and nothing has changed or has been changed. So they are probably worse now. Why should there be more faith in the system? Well, because Trump won, they'll tell you. So clearly there was no cheating. Slughouse. Slughouse says, movie suggestions, Harrison Bergeron, a movie about enforced equity by brain inhibitor device and what? Really? And TV propaganda. And Lucky Number 11, which is basically a white revenge fantasy against Jews or against Jews and blacks. As always, keep it up. Well, I'll add that to the, I don't think I've seen either one of those. All right, well, thank you very much for the support, Slughouse. Lichlord Godfrey says, Indians are amongst the lowest of civilizations. Every great accomplishment of theirs was done by foreign invaders, the Aryans developing their religion, the Mughals building the Taj Mahal, the British actually uniting them into a single cohesive country. They are a cross between blacks and Jews. All I gotta say is I never see footage of India that is promising. In fact, I see non-right-wing travel vloggers on YouTube that if you look up, you know, India travel vloggers, the titles are even like, India, never again. The shithole that is India. Wow, India sucks. Like, and we're talking like, you know, like hipster-looking, like the millennials that've got like the Pringles can mustache guy, you know, like we're talking like people that should not agree with us. and they're in India and they're just like, God, it sucks here. So, yeah, I mean, you don't really hear a lot about how awesome India is ever. Hammerhead Cow says, I'm not founding stock, but I'm more supportive of white people than most Americans. The identity of whites has to be expanded to include all of us whose ancestors were fighting each other for centuries. I'm a bit swarthy, but I am still white. Fuck, you're not white faggots. Well, you know, like I said, we joke around, but, you know, I think that if you look white, the test in America at this point to me is if you look white, you're white to me, you know, unless you're a Jew. Then no. I don't care how white you look. FOMFG says, replay gang, I just wanted to mention I'm here since the YouTube days regarding SP. The episode with the Negroplasty is peak subversion. Just a short on that episode alone would be great. Thank you all for you. Oh, you're talking about South Park. No, we talked about that. That's in the last South Park stream where Kyle turns black, right? He gets like the black surgery. I didn't like focus hardcore on it, but like that's in there. That one's in there. Lich Lord Godfrey says, I would rather 5 billion white trash immigrants over a single non-white of any race. Of all the races, the Indian is the most disturbing, including Pakis, genetically the same. They are a race of liars and rapists. While everyone has a homeland, nobody would miss India. Well, I mean, come on. So it sounds like Lich Lord Godfrey is not a fan of the Indians. Look, and not only do they have a homeland, there's like they have like the most populated homeland out of any group. Opera Commandant says, hey, Devin, I hope you had a good Christmas. Currently at a business trip till beginning of January. Some stream ago, I mentioned I got in a relationship with a blonde German Fraulein. She bought me a new phone for Christmas, even though I earned 3 times more than her. Now dropping hints about ring size. Well, very good. Very good. Yeah, it's... You know, the thing about rings, though, and I know not all girls are down with this, the real test is, can you get them to take the Jewish diamond pill? That's that's always a good one, and it saves a lot of money. Donald Ducktator, some people are actually skipping the H-1B visa schism of 2024 in order to stay monetized on Twitter. Imagine that. You can make money naming the Jew, but you're too afraid to name the poo. Well, I don't think they can make a whole lot of money if they're naming the Jew. But what do I know? Man of Low Moral Fiber says, fuck Jim Cramer. That's an exceedingly disgusting heap. Yeah, that guy is always shilling horrific shit. Ryan with the big dono. And I still don't have a fucking button for that. How do I not have a button for that? Where'd it go? We need to have a button for that.
Heil Hitler, bitch!
There we go.
Heil Hitler, bitch!
Hey, girl. You hungry?
Fuck you, nigga!
All right. Ryan with the big dono and simply says...
Heil Hitler, bitch!
Opera Commandant says, also mentioning that we should get a bigger car to be prepared for family expansion, and how she can't wait to have children. At least some good news in these bleak times. She mentioned when we started dating that she used to be racist. Now she definitely is. Don't trust Jews, blacks, and Asians. What about Jewish Blasians? Hammerhead Cow says, acetyl... choline is a common part of human metabolism, summa cum laude. It's really stupid what he's saying, and he is outright lying about the efficacy of that drug. And fuck Jim Cramer. He was telling people to buy Lehman Brothers the day before it went from 80 to zero. Yeah. Big scam. Lampshade Denier says, Vivek's mother, Dr. Greetha Ramaswamy, conducted a new phase 2 trial in 2015 involving 684 subjects. This trial conveniently claimed to demonstrate... I didn't know his mom was the one doing it. That makes it so much worse. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. You know, my voice is going out, guys. Sorry. Let's see here. Sufficiently improve it to the support phase 3 trials. How is this not a conflict of interest? Yeah, I didn't know his mom... That makes it worse. So his mom did some of the tests. Amazing then that it did so well before hitting clinical trials and being no more effective than placebo. FUBAR Nation.
Wise money management.
Where's the rest?
Thank you.
You the man, and I appreciate that. Love and a vision with the big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. Devin, have you seen the Indian moon mission? Did it look real? By the way, have you covered the TV series Designated Survivor or the TV series The Man in the High Castle? No to all of those. Sorry, my throat there. Let's see here. No, I haven't seen it. Yeah, no to all those. I will check those out. My guess is usually when people are like, oh, look, this looks fake, what they're talking about is usually it's like some simulation. It's not actually footage because they forget that if you're landing a probe on the moon, you don't have another probe with a camera following it, you know? And so what they'll do is they'll play an animation to visualize where it's at. And then these moon, you know, these flat earthers usually will find it and be like, aha, look, it looks totally fake. It's like, well, yeah, because it's fake. Like, no one said it was real, you know? And so usually it's stuff like that out of context. In fact, I've seen them, I've caught them doing this where they even, it says simulation at the bottom of the screen and they crop it out. They crop, like, they, so you know they're lying. It's not, oh, they must have missed, they must have thought this was real. No, it's, they cropped it out. So you know that they're lying. I think I saw like a couple episodes of Man in High Castle, but I never finished it. I've never seen Designated Survivor. Maybe I'll check those out. But thank you for the big support there. Kozlovska rocks. This is not a miscegenation endorsement. My half-Jewish nephew has kids with a half-Mexican woman. Will their kids have enough non-white blood to survive the cold? I'm not sure what you're asking. To survive what cold? They'll be... I mean, if they're, they'll be a quarter Mexican and a quarter Jew and what, half white? I don't know. Again, I guess by having the Jew, for me at least, it's that's a disqualifier. Whether they look white or not, I don't know. Not sure I understand what you mean though. But thank you for the support. Wolf Supremacists.
No! Cork!
Had to get some cork in there eventually. Hi, Mr. Stack. I'm sorry I haven't hyper-chatted in forever, and I know this is very late, but I'm terribly sorry about Classified Cat. It's great you have Churro, but God, you are... But God, you are real. Please find this man a wife. Well, I appreciate that. And Churro was, he's out there. You know, I let him out before the show. I think I heard him meowing during the show, but I was on a rant. So he's probably still out there. He's chunked up. He chunks up in the winter. It's funny because he goes from like really skinny in the summer to where like you wonder like, are you getting enough food, man? He turns into like, he goes full like chonk mode, and he's full chonk mode right now. Looks like a beast. Grenade says, the Jewish nerd meme ham-fisted in movies and TV shows needs to die. Being nerd only works in Jewish culture, a feminine culture obsessed with money. I was a nerd and there's nothing glorious about it. You're physically weak, introverted, creepy, and ostracized. Nerd culture will turn you into a tranny. Well, and that's the thing is that doesn't, you can't be a leader. You can be like really smart and get, you know, a lot of expertise in a very, like a obscure field. And, you know, there, it's not like there's no advantages to to the nerd path, but that's not, that shouldn't be like the, that's not what we should be holding up as the ideal. And look, you can be athletic and be a nerd. You know, you can be a Chad nerd, believe it or not. You can't be, I don't think I've ever met someone who's, well, I guess what, the guy with the highest IQ, supposedly, that guy's got like he's like a bodybuilder. So I guess, you know, you could be a bodybuilder. But I feel like the people that focus a lot on the physical will often neglect the mental, and vice versa. So it's better to find a balance, I think. But you're right. We're not a people that when I read that tweet, all I saw was a bunch of high school bitterness from a weak, unpopular Indian kid in high school. Blue cord with a big dono.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
the Magic Negro.
Christmas tree.
Where did the snowman go?
The best Christmas ever.
All right. Blue cord, good evening, Devin. I showed one of my closest friends your video about the Liberty tonight. J-pilling the people I care about continues. Don't stop spreading the truth. Thank you for doing what you do. It might not always seem like it's appreciated, but it is more than you know. Thank you, brother. Well, I do feel like it's appreciated, and I think in large part because of you guys. So, but thank you for the kind words. And that's one of the evergreen videos, the Liberty. That's the gift that keeps on giving. And thankfully, those guys are getting more play on bigger platforms, you know, like, I think that's a story that really, for me, moved my internal Overton window, I guess, because I realized that, wow, like in researching that video, I was like, if it's this much of a lie, the United States government is lying about this big of a thing for Israel. What's off the table? You know, because like it's obvious that it happened. It's obscenely documented, and it's impossible to deny. And that's the other thing. That's another good litmus test. Anyone who denies the Liberty incident, you automatically know is a shill. Like automatically, they get Jewish money. Period. End of story. Or they're retarded, and they can't be trusted. But yeah, thank you very much for the support there, Blue Cord. Grenade says, it wasn't nerds that put a man on the moon, it was Nazis. This is why the media has for long pictured the Hitler Youth as a brainwashed cult of death. The Hitler Youth experience was all about Aryan spirit, loyalty to your kinsmen, fitness and resourcefulness, a strong mind, and a healthy body. Yeah, exactly. You need to focus on both. And it was honestly, you're right. Whoever, I forgot, there was a couple of chats about calling it a Jewish meme. A lot of the actors, it's no coincidence that a lot of the actors that played the nerds in 80s and 90s movies were like super Jewy. You know, they weren't just like kind of Jewish. They were like the Jewy, that's why they got cast in those roles. Cause they were like the weak, you know, nerd that, and that's why I think Hollywood was promoting that. Like, no, we're good. You want it? We're actually cooler than the jocks that beat us up. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, PayPal, one of Elon's first things, and they were... Wait, is this part of another one? Seems like you're missing part of a sentence here. I'm going to read it anyway. I missed a word. PayPal was one of Elon's first things, and they were banning white supremacists all the way back in the early days of eBay, despite them not technically breaking eBay's rules at the time. But the payment processor ban was a de facto ban. Early internet censorship, that's Elon, always has been. Yeah, I believe it. Absolutely, I believe it. Bloodstain says from a Twitter screen cap, "Honey, I replaced our kids with some Indian immigrants who supposedly do better at mathematics. This household must win at any cost." That's the thing too. Another reason why that makes Elon can't think of it like that is he has outsourced all of his parenting. Doesn't he have eight kids by eight different women? I mean, he's not exactly the model father. One of his kids is trans now. So he doesn't understand the investment that you make in your family. To him, I don't know him personally, but just based on his views on other things, I don't think it would be out of character for him to view his children as dispassionately and impersonally as he does our country. Grenade says, "As a cure and vaccine against Jewish nerd culture, mandatory service should be instated. Unfortunately, the white man has no nation homeland where that would be worth it, as long as Jews are in power in the West." Exactly. I would be okay with mandatory military service if we were not in an occupied country. JRay1981 says, Trump can trace his history back, unlike Vivek or Oaktree, but he's a fucking traitor, and that's been our Achilles heel besides Jewish parasitical history, but it goes hand in hand. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he can trace his family back to the founding. I think that, I don't know, actually. I don't know beyond Fred Trump. I thought his grandparents immigrated, but I could be wrong about that. I forget the backstory on that. Well, you know what? Let's find out. I'm very doubtful that he goes back to the founding, though. Let's see here. Yeah, no, it's not even that. His dad was an immigrant. So Frederick Trump was from Karlstadt, Germany. And his mom, Elizabeth Christ, was also, I think, from Germany. Let's see here. Yeah, so his parents... Oh, no, wait, it says on his maternal side... His mother, Mary Ann McLeod, immigrated to the United States from Scotland in 1930. Yeah, so he's a child of immigrants. So, you know, like, they're recent arrivals too. I mean, so yeah, he doesn't go back to the founding. That seemed impossible, and it apparently is not the case. Yeah, I don't think Trump would act the same if his family went back to the founding. It just hits different when you're talking, like, when the whole story of America is like your family history. Like, it hits different. Let's see, where do we go? White Noise says, "I've been watching your uncle on syndicated cable the last week, and I have to say that the show was entertaining and still is. The phone room and the hot female reporter with updates occasionally. Did you ever make crazy AI t-shirts? The New York Electronics Jew." The New York Electronics Jew? Oh, the crazy Eddie t-shirts. No, that's not a bad idea. Although I feel like the crazy Eddie Jews would sue me, so I'd have to be clever with it. But maybe we could do something like that. Yeah, I do. I miss Unsolved Mysteries. I actually have I have a bunch of the episodes stored somewhere. I set up this analog TV station just as a project once that I have like in the pillbox that actually broadcasts not very far, like a few feet, well, you know, like 100 feet or something like that to like. Tube TVs. So if I like an old vintage TV, I can actually tune in and watch whatever I want on it, you know, off like a USB stick. And so I was going to have it just like looping old vintage stuff like that. And I never got around to doing that because I got busy with other stuff. But I do have those episodes. Bessemer 72 Good show, Mr. Stack. I'm glad you're on our side. Well, I appreciate that, and I always will be, because I'm actually white. And my family's been here forever, and I don't have any other home or any other agenda. I'm here for us, and that's it. Thanks for the support, Bessemer. Andromeda says, great show, Devin. You nailed it. Well, I appreciate that. Mr. Trolley says, good evening, Devin. Are you doing any streams for New Year's Eve? Rootless cosmopolitans have to get in the pit. Probably. It depends on how I'm feeling. Like I said, I've been exposed to illness. I was exposed to sick people. And my voice is not doing great right now. But I'm powering through vitamin C. And so I've got a pretty good immune system. So maybe I'll be fine. And if I am fine, I'll do a stream. Either for New Year's Eve or New Year's, I'm not sure. But we'll do like a retrospective, I think, or something like that. I got some ideas. But yeah, and then we're going to go back to having Wednesday ones. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, the most ironic thing about shitskins decrying white supremacy and nationalism is that they want the exact same thing that white supremacists want, to live around more white people and fewer brown people. I think Vivek wants more brown people. I don't think he wants to live around more white people. I mean, maybe in practice, right? But I don't know. I feel like Indians have like a real racial solidarity and a lot of nepotism and racial narcissism. And I don't think he would mind living in an entire Indian neighborhood if they were the right caste. You know what I mean? Excuse me. Pride Assassin says, Happy New Year. After DOTR is done, maybe make a horror movie about the crazy DEI hire who utterly destroyed the International Space Station. True story, utter horror show. I did a stream about that, actually. And that would it'd be funny to make a fictional version of that. And like just write it like kind of in the style of Douglas Adams, you know, where it's just like this comedy of errors. And maybe you can even put it in the future a little bit and make it accessible. You know, just make it like a young adult's novel that high school kids could read. And it'd be funny, you know, and it'd teach a lesson about diversity. That'd be kind of fun. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, we need a Mount Nigmore with George Floyd, Rodney King, Trayvon Martin, and Michelle Obama. That's a possible future. Anton Ovey. Something tells me that a lot of MAGAs are going to be very mad and disappointed in 2025. The smart ones, that is. Oh, and the honey has good medicinal quality, but I'm sure you knew that. Yeah, now I got honey tea ready to go. I don't have honey to sell, but I do have a larger personal supply of honey than I've ever had in my life, for sure. I've got a few gallons laying around, and it is good stuff. Canuck says, polling suggests the Jeet Hive has some of the most favorable views of Israel compared to most other countries. With enough Zogbots in our government, perhaps they are being groomed to become the next major migrant wave to the West. Yeah, I mean, that is obviously figuring heavily into the decision-making. They realize that the run-of-the-mill brown people that they've moved into displaced whites are not as favorable to Israel, and you'd be crazy to think that that's not a major factor in all of this. Antonov A says, then again, pretty dumb if you vote Trump, so I'll withdraw the comment on the smart Trumpers. Well, there were some well-meaning people that voted for Trump that were just kind of rolling the dice and hoping for the best, and I get it. It's tough to let go of that dream. The No Fun Zone with the Big Dono.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
The Magic Negro.
Christmas tree.
Where did the snowman go?
All right. No fun zone. It says, banger stream. Dave Owen knew it was going to be good after this week. Thanks for all you do. You are an inspiration. And then you said, see, this is another one I'm surprised. I keep forgetting to do the buttons. I get done with the show and I'm just like, so, like, it wears me out. I'm not going to lie. The show is, it's not like exhausting. Some nights it is. And I just a step away from it, I forget to like set all these stupid buttons. I need to set like the button for this. Mega. But thank you for the support there. No fun zone. A man of low moral fiber. Vet supplies in Mexico are pennies on the dollar. Cow vaccines, dewormer, etc. When I was working on a ranch in New Mexico, we'd take a horse trailer full of refrigerators down to Juarez and stock up on livestock medicines. Cheaper to send three ranch hands to another country than buy local. Absolutely. Absolutely. Although now, how safe is Juarez these days? Last time I went to Juarez, it was pre-9/11, and you could just walk across the border, like literally across the bridge, and if you looked white, they just let you do it. They didn't check anything. Now that they find, you know, torsos and disembodied heads and things, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if that's still going on, but there was, I know there was like for a while there, Juarez was not a nice place. It was never a nice place, but it got like a lot worse somehow. But yeah, I guess it's still cheaper. Yeah, maybe it's, I mean, if you send the ranch hands, right? Hopefully they come back with their hands. Slavery to false gods. Why do you think Mangione is a leftist? I mean, he wrote praise for police, for fuck's sake. A leftist is someone who views politics from a place of economic class. The police state is no friend of the working class. Also, my hometown has had mass immigration all my life, and we still have skill shortages. Well, I think it's because he was a fag. Like, he was literally a gay dude that was into black guys. So, you know, he wasn't a sane person. That's why he was probably a leftist. Man of low moral fiber says Trump was a bleeding heart liberal way back in the 1980s and has moved left since then. The Republican Party just happened to have pole vaulted to the left over a New York bisexual who was raised by Jews, and he's considered far right now to Reddit fangs. Well, the whole country has moved, has lurched to the left. And so just not wanting to have trans kids, which is increasingly accepted by the right, is considered right wing. Andromeda says, so watching Friends and Saved by the Bell with my kids was a bad idea. Oh, the horror, the horror. Well, I think it was actually a bad idea. But not for the reasons Vivek said. I would, you know, Friends was Jew cancer, and Saved by the Bell might have been somewhat harmless, but we did that. They did a whole white guilt episode that we've covered here. I mean, everything in the 90s did. I don't think you like scarred your children for life by doing that, but you know, I think in retrospect we can agree that, you know, TV was cancer, just not for the reasons he, you know, outlined. Man of low moral fiber says anecdotal, but the German exchange students in my high school in Arizona were absolutely appalled at the Beaners and how they got to waltz over the border illegally, while the German exchange students would have their Christmas cookies sent by grandma confiscated. I know I say that word weird sometimes. By customs. That every European I've ever talked to that's had to do things legally, and not even European, even like Asians. You know, I had a friend that was Korean, and she was always really fucking annoyed by all. You know, she was she went to college out here, and she had to jump through a lot of hoops. And in fact, she liked Trump. This was back in like the 2016 era, because she thought he was going to actually build the wall, and she hated Mexicans. So, you know. Andromeda! Hey, we're getting this one over and over and over again. That's my least favorite one, too. Probably not my favorite, but it's not one of my favorites. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Wishing you and the audience a happy new year. Well, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you, Andromeda. And thank you for the support. Maybe next time, says Devin, please do, as the previous commenter suggested, some work on Harrison Bergeron. The story is only a few pages long. It's perfect for the times we are living in. All right, well, I've got to add to my notes there. There's another vote for Harrison Bergeron. Anton Ove says, my uncle almost shit himself to death in India when traveling there. Pretty sure he doesn't want to go back. I hear that from almost everyone that has been to India. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, reminder, Gandhi's strategy for getting rid of the British was literally, hey, just sit around and be stinky and annoying. They will eventually get tired of us. That seemed to be an easy strategy. Wolf Supremacist says, sorry, I just noticed I did not say God if you are real. Anyway, I hope you and your family had and are having a wonderful Christmas season. Oh, okay. A little typo there. Not a problem. And thank you for the support again there, Wolf Supremacist. And then we got Synchromancer. Need that black-pilled coffee mug. How do you like your coffee? Black-pilled, please. Yeah, I do like my coffee black most of the time. I have been drinking a little bit of the creamer over the last couple of days because it's festive, I think. A little whole milk is actually all I need. Just a little dab. You know, a little dab. A little flavor in there. But yeah, the real dark coffee, too. Like the... Not this, like... you know, like the medium roast. Yeah, you have like the dark stuff if you're going to go black. Lich Lord Godfrey says, yes, I do not like Indians. I dislike Jews more. My racialism has been winnowed? I think he meant whittled down to loving white people, warts and all, and not minding non-whites if they remain in their homelands. Reading non-white literature cemented this further, but Jews must be wanderers again. Well, they got a homeland now, technically, if they just go there. Man of Low Moral Fiber, bench your body weight for 10 reps should be required to graduate high school. Yeah, I guess so. Something like that. They used to have stuff like that. They used to have, they had PE requirements, physical requirements. I'm almost positive that they had that in public schools. And that would be interesting to see when they got rid of that. And to what extent it existed. Because I'm not old enough to have experienced that, but like I feel like I've seen in old movies or old shows that like that was a thing. Maybe that's totally made up. I'll find out. Glock 23 says Trump's pick for attorney general is a Zionist anti-gun cunt. She wants a national red flag law. Yep, we've covered that. And so does Trump. Well, and he bumped stocks, and it got unbanned under Biden. I know Biden didn't have anything to do with it, but just to go as a show, it doesn't really matter, you know, who's president. She also wants to ban the sale of rifles and shotguns to those under the age of 21. And people would have their guns confiscated by law enforcement if an allegation was made against them. Yep, no, and Trump was sitting right next to her as she explained it, and he was saying what an awesome idea it was, and that's entirely possibly in the future, and there's going to be a lot of two-way pro-Trump MAGA people who are going to be like, what? And it's like, yeah, he said that before the election. Anton Ove says, racism is actually rampant in India. First, there's the caste system. Also, light brown Indians tend to be racist against dark brown Indians. So don't ever let an Indian race blame you. Yeah, no, their whole society is based on racial differences. Mark Twain Forever says, thanks for all your work over the years. Keep it up. Here's a small payment for what I consume. Well, I appreciate that, Mark Twain. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and the rest of the people in Odyssey. We're going to flip over to Rumble. And I'm going to do what I always have to do and make sure that plugin is not great. And often forgets chat. So I just got to double check it before we go through them here. Uncle Ted says, thanks for the stream, Devin. Replay gang. Appreciate that, Uncle Ted. And that did get picked up by the things. So that's good. I don't know why Rumble just doesn't add that functionality.
I mean, they're spending, they got, didn't they just get like $700 million invested in them? Tyler W05. I kind of want Angry Corky at some point. Can we get an Angry Corky? I think we got one more chance.
No!
Corky! That's just frightened Corky. I think we need at least one of the Angry Corkies. I think Biker Fight Angry Corky's the best, or one of them. Tyler W05 says, looking forward to the replay. Also, Merry Late Christmas. Take this and get something you enjoy. Buddy, if I was a millionaire, you'd be one too. Well, I appreciate that. And, yeah, that'd be great if we... I think eventually you got to realize we are kind of pioneering even just this format, right? There was no such thing as live streaming, you know, in the way that we do it today. This didn't exist not that long ago. It's a very new thing. And so that's part of it. And I think another part of it is more people need to get blackpilled and stop giving money to the institutions that are selling us out. Because that money's there, and I think that, we're gonna go through the fire a little bit, and we're gonna get burned a little bit, but we're gonna come out stronger on the other side. And in the meantime, you guys are doing great. I really appreciate the support that you're giving me. So really appreciate that. And let's see here, scroll down, keep scrolling down. Here we go. PHRC. Let's see. Are we going to get it? Are we going to get the right Corky or just something fun? Oh, I'll settle for Devil Dogs. All right, we got Evil Dog. I'm down with that. All right. Hey, Devin, looking forward to the replay. First time I've caught you live from Australia. We know the noticing on X is manufactured, but to serve what purpose, 40 chess? I don't know that it's totally manufactured. I think that there is a lot of people that took advantage of the initial offering of free speech before Elon really had his grip on things. And I suspect that that will change. And I think that maybe to some extent they thought, well, some of this is just bottled up, right? Like, we've been censoring these fucks everywhere they go, and they just need to get it out of their, let them just yell about the Jews for like a little bit. They'll get it out of their system, and then they'll get bored and talk about something else. And that didn't happen. I kind of wonder if that was maybe, you know, like, if you're trying to game this out, that's one possibility. That is, because that's something they used to say when they were first doing the censorship. The people that were pro-censorship but, like, were pro-cautious or thoughtful censorship, like, they were the kinds of people that were like, well, here's how we could bite us in the ass. Like, they were the people that weren't just, like, want to, like, slam the ban hammer around without thinking about the consequences. They wanted to swing the ban hammer around, but they wanted to think like, well, maybe this, what could possibly go wrong here? And one of the things they would say is they say, well, no, this will further radicalize them because it'll put them in this, it'll isolate them into these little echo chambers, and then they'll just hyper radicalize and because they won't be exposed to any pushback or whatever. And if you remember when Elon first, was talking about, when he first got the platform, was first doing like, oh, free speech. And notice how he doesn't really talk about that much these days. He was saying things like, like the typical, well, bad ideas need to be fought with good ideas, that kind of nonsense shit, with the expectation perhaps that, as I said, that people would get out of their little radicalized echo chamber and get into the marketplace of ideas, and they would find that their ideas were bad. I think maybe there was some sense that that would happen, and then it didn't happen, and now they're, recalibrating. I don't know. That's a possibility. All right, let's see here. And of course, it would not be Insomnia Strain without Negro Spritzer expressing his displeasure for various groups, including but not limited to, I'm sure, the Jeets, the Blacks, and the Jews. All right, I'm going to scroll through here and make sure that that's it, and then we'll double back over to Odyssey and make sure that no last-minute ones popped up. I think we did get a last one here. No, I think that was, actually, I think I did that one. All right, guys. I think that's it. Perfect. Well, I really appreciate it. Really generous, guys. That's going to help. And like I said, I'll probably either do a New Year's Eve countdown kind of a stream if I'm feeling up to it. Like I said, I'm hoping I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to feel good. But I there is the possibility that that's not the case. I'm ready for that possibility. In which case, we'll probably do like a shorter one on New Year's Day and do like a retro. One thing I thought would be fun. I wonder how we would do that. I was thinking if we could somehow take predictions, and then like next year when we do the stream, you know, and I am stealing that idea from Art Bell, because like I was listening to some old Art Bell episodes, and I know, yeah, he was a Freemason race mixing boomer. But sometimes it's fun to listen to him talk about ghosts and shit. But he would do these end of the year prediction shows, and I don't know how we'd set that up, but you know, maybe we do it like take it through Twitter or Telegram or something. I don't know. Anyway, all right, guys, I'm gonna hit the sack. So you guys all have a good rest of your weekend. Hope your holiday season, and by holiday I mean Christmas and New Year's, has been bright and beautiful and with your families. And I will see you soon for Blackpilled. I am, of course, Devin Stack. Come, let's go.